B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show, a Monday show. And all of a sudden in Philadelphia, it is sports bliss. Yes. Like last week, we didn't enter sports bliss yet. We were still waiting. And then the Sixers dominate the Atlanta Hawks to the point where there's nobody who believes the Hawks are going to win. Now, even the biggest idiot, the biggest national pundit idiot, can't possibly believe that the Atlanta Hawks can win now, right? Stop. All right, we'll get to this in a second. But also, all of a sudden, the Phillies turned into a baseball team. So we're feeling good here about Monday. We're feeling good about tonight's game. And the Sixers, I believe, are a three-point favorite tonight. That's giving the Hawks a little too much credit, I think. I think the Sixers will win the game. And the only question that we have is who's going to be in the starting lineup ahead of Danny Green. And you can either go offense with Korkmaz, or you can go defense with Thybulle, or you can surprise everybody by going with Maxey. So we'll talk about that today. Let me introduce the gang. Tyrone, of course, is here. And we have a new gang member participating today. And her name is Devin Caney. And Devin has worked in the Philadelphia sports media for a while now, especially if you're a fan of lacrosse. You recognize Devin right away. Hello, Devin.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. We're glad to have you. And, I know that you feel this fan base since you grew up in this area, even though you've had some really interesting pit stops.
I certainly have.
Boise,
yeah.
Idaho?
Well, Mike, you've done your research.
Well, we'll have to talk about that a little later. I want to know what it's like in Boise. But, let's go to Tyrone first. Tyrone, is there any doubt in your mind that the series is over in five?
No. If the series is over, the only question that would have to happen for it to go longer than five, the Hawks can't win, is they have some game where they make 20-some threes, and the Sixers miss a bunch of shots. The Sixers shot like 58% the other day. They have no answers for the Sixers offensively. I guess if some fluky way they make a million shots and the Sixers miss a bunch of easy shots, they could hypothetically get to six, but I don't think so. I think they win today. I think Wednesday it's over. Another gentleman sweep. And then all those people that overreacted to the first half of game one are going to look awfully stupid. They already look shaky. They're going to go from shaky to stupid in a matter of days.
Listen, I think the people who really know what they saw, the Sixers took that team's heart, right? Now, there's some, so you can tell in some series when a team goes, the moment arrives where they go, oh my, we're not as good as this team. And the Hawks had that look on their face. I mean, you could see it in that game. Towards the end of the game, they're going, we're not as good. We're not good enough yet to beat this team. So I fully expect that the Sixers will win the next two games, no matter who is going to be in the starting lineup. It is interesting that I'm looking at the newspaper today. I don't know. This is a side topic. It has nothing to do with the meat and potatoes of the Sixers winning tonight. I thought it was strange that somebody in the Philadelphia Inquirer today did a story on Bogdan Bogdanovich. Did you see this?
Yeah, I saw it over the weekend because it was posted online. And here's the thing. That particular person apparently had a beef with me before. But I don't know what it was. It doesn't matter. So I don't follow him on social media for that reason. But I saw a lot of people jumping on it because other Inquirer colleagues were coming to his aid. And I thought it was odd.
What's the point of doing a feature story? Again, I don't want to get carried away with this. It was just something that caught me. Because right now, it's like, come on, who cares who's playing for Atlanta this point?
The thinking was he's been a good player for them, mm-hmm. and it gives some insight into an opposing team's player who has played well overall, I guess, for the Hawks.
All right.
But it was odd to me because for me, I'm not talking about anybody else. For me, that's just a thing where I just wouldn't read it.
Yeah, it's not something that would resonate
with me.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would be that interested in Bogdan Bogdanovich. He's had a good series. Buy him a pack of gum. Well, I care at this point. All right, so let's go to Devin. Now, Devin, you've been following this series. Did you see the same thing that we saw where the Sixers just, they took their heart and tucked it in their sock? That's what I saw.
I did, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it because I'll never forget game one of this series, I'll also never forget the cheers that I heard in Atlanta the two times Joel Embiid went down.
Oh, we didn't even get to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get ahead of myself.
How rude of a fan base to cheer. I thought that was only done in Philadelphia. I thought that we bottled that with Michael Irvin and then people just take it out, take the cork off and put it in a glass.
Exactly. If it had been the other way around,
of course,
it'd be national headlines about how Philly fans are disgraceful.
Yes, it would be. So here we are. You know, tonight, I want to, Tyrone, I know you favor Star. It's funny because Quirkbaz comes in, he scores 11 points in the first period, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the predictable social media reaction, especially towards me, he's not my favorite player. Put it mildly. So, I'm glad he had to. It was the one game that he plays out of the 10, and it was good. So tonight, your theory is you start Korkmaz. My choice would be Thybulle, but your rationale for starting Korkmaz is a pretty good one.
Yeah, it's about just limiting the amount of pressure on the guy and coming up with a reasonable facsimile of what Green can do on offense. Now, Thybulle obviously is an upgrade defensively, but I like being able to sort of stagger Ben, then him, so Trey has no soft landing. So basically, if at any point you're going to have one or the other, once you start them, in my opinion, you end up playing some minutes where neither are on the floor. I would like to have 0 minutes where there's not a Ben or Thybulle, both on one or the other on the floor, so Trey knows it's not going to be easy for me no matter at all. And Korkmaz, when playing with those starters, gets really, really, really open looks. And we know that's what he specializes
in.
With the second unit, he has had some trouble at times throughout the series. Had a good game last game, but he struggles at times against that tough defense that you see with the bench. He won't see any of that tough defense because he's the fifth option. And as the fifth option, he'll be wide open, and he'll make enough shots. And he does one. I have to give him credit for one thing. He's not great at putting it on the floor, and it scares both you and I. But Trae Young, a lot of times, is going to be on Korkmaz. He's willing to put it on the floor more than Danny Green, and now that makes Trae Young have to guard if you put him in a pick and roll. Not because Korkmaz is great at it, it's just that he's willing to do it, and now Trae has to now get a switch on to Tobias or a switch on to Ben Simmons, and then that's automatic points. So,
I like it, and I'd be okay with it. I would like to bust them up early with defense. And if Thybulle's on the floor, since we're writing features about Bogdanovich, and Ben could play Trey and Thybulle could play feature story man. And then with him on the floor, help defense on Trey, and you demoralize them early. This is a team that's already demoralized. If you demoralize them early defensively and they don't make shots, I think that will help them roll over and play dead.
You know what? That's a good point, because what you could then do is you could put Curry on that stinking Solomon Hill, who's terrible. If they keep their same starting lineup, you then put Ben to start on Bogdanovich. You put Thybulle on Trey.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is, and then obviously you can help off guys. If you do that, you might get out to one of those 12-2 spurts, and then that's curtains. You go ahead, go home, nail that one in. It's over.
Yeah.
I can see your way. I think it's going to be Korkmaz.
Either way, the Sixers win this game, and then they come home and win game five. I just can't see Atlanta after what I saw. Well, first of all, I saw two games they couldn't finish out, and then they just got their pants taken off of them in that other game where they started. You could see the look on their face. They go, "We're not ready for this challenge." So I don't know what's going to make them ready for this challenge tonight.
Yeah, I think McMillan will make some adjustments. They'll try. They're not going to blow them out from the start. It's going to be the same thing we've seen as the game goes on. The better team just by minute 6, it looks okay. Then minute 12. And then by minute 30 of the game, out of the 48, you just see one team's way better than the other. I don't think that they're going to come up with an answer. I just don't see it.
Yeah. All right, so quickly on the Phillies, we go into the break. All of a sudden, they've turned to an offensive team, and my two favorite players are fueling it. The center fielder and the second baseman are fueling this thing.
He's an all-star, the second baseman. He's an all-star.
He's a good hitter. All right, I will say that. He's a good hitter. He's a fearless hitter. Yeah, listen, you know, the Yankees, they've been fortunate in that they're missing these top pitchers in these series. And they're going to miss a couple of the Dodgers as well. But then they get to San Francisco, and Gabe's waiting for them. So this is a major week for the Phillies. And we'll talk with Matt Breen a little early, a little later today on the show to talk about the Phillies and this road trip now. That's probably going to define them a little bit. But the Yankees stink.
They're not good.
They didn't pay enough attention to, you know, defense or pitching, that team.
Not a strong squad. Scary at all.
No, they're not. All right. 610-632-0975. We'll get this thing rolling after this. Sixers win tonight, and they win game five, and I'm good. And then we just wait for the war of attrition with the Nets. Are the Nets even going to be there now? We were talking about the Nets sweeping the Bucks. All of a sudden, it's 2-2, and the Bucks are favored to win the series now because of all these injuries the Nets are going through. Sixers are in a great spot. That's why it's sports bliss right now. Mike Missinelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, it's 2:20 hour of the Mike Missinelli Show on a Monday, brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's county locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. Devin Caney is with us today with the Twitter poll. That's brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, check it out. Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown has it all. Just order online at paulbmoyer.com. All right, Devin, what is today's Twitter poll?
Thanks, Mike. Today's Twitter poll is, who should the Sixers start in place of Danny Green tonight? 39.8% of voters so far say Korkmaz. Behind him is Matisse Thybulle, Shake Milton, and Tyrese Maxey, rounding out the bottom four.
How close is Thybulle to Korkmaz in the numbers?
Thybulle's leading now.
Thybulle leads.
This was just posted, by the way. 43.6% Thybulle.
Ah, wow. There you go. You're not trusting Corky yet?
No, it's close between those two. Shake and Maxey falling behind. You know how funny is Maxey a week ago was the people's choice.
Yeah.
Fast forward now, and he's bringing up the rear.
Yeah. It goes from game to game. Mm-hmm. Like Shake's big game, and all of a sudden we expected he'd be first in. He wasn't.
Back to Korkmaz.
And then he regressed. And so Korkmaz has a flurry. Now it's Korkmaz. But, you know, I can't go wrong with Thybulle. I can go wrong with Korkmaz.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to get the potential to make a three. He'll make one, but, you know, it's not imminent that he's going to make a three. But I know exactly what I'm going to get. I don't have any idea what I'm going to get from Korkmaz.
You don't. You don't. But my gut, and this is just gut. I haven't talked to anybody. I'm on the road. My gut says it's going to be Korkmaz.
Yeah, I think he likes him. I told you he likes him.
He does like him.
He likes him on the floor. He likes him. He likes to put him out there. He likes that skill that he has, won every 10 games.
He does. But I will say this. He's the Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. I don't know what it is. They really like him. Maybe it's a personality thing. They like him.
Yeah,
it might be that he's been with them the longest because they've been together 4 years. Maybe they've like three guys that have been here the whole time.
He's probably unintrusive. He just goes about his way. Like he's
he thinks he's better than those guys.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. Korkmaz is the most confident guy in the gym. Not a disrespectful way, but Korkmaz believes in his mind, oh, yeah, he's the guy. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Remember when he told Brett Brown, if you're not going to start me, trade me.
Well, that was a while ago.
That was only like last year.
You don't think he's falling in line with the older heads on his team, the better players? Plays his role.
And I think he understands that those guys play more. But I think in his heart, he believes just a little while longer, I'm going to break out. I'm 23. I'm still going to be better than those guys. I don't know if that's always a bad attitude to have. Always.
It's an unrealistic attitude.
Well, of course it's unrealistic, but you know. How many times you step in the gym and you think, you got to fake it till you make it?
Yeah. All right. Now, listen, Corky, go get him tonight, huh? Let's go. Let's start things off. Let's go to Stro in Atlanta. What's up, Stro?
Hey, what's up, Mike? How you guys doing?
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good. So I got an interesting perspective here. So I'm actually born and raised in South Philly. And once I graduated from Temple University, I actually got a job with the Atlanta Hawks. So that's why I moved.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, I worked in the organization there, and then I went to the game on Friday, and I'm going to the game tonight. I work for a sports entertainment firm now I'm here, but I just wanted to say it was hilarious because, they all had their Believe Atlanta shirts on, and I'm there as a Sixers fan, the only one in the suite with any type of gear. And, people were trying to bet me and telling me, oh, you got all this confidence in your team. And let's just say I walked away with a couple hundred, at the end of that night, and people were leaving early. So,
but you were in a tough spot. You actually worked for the team, huh? I would think that you kind of gravitated to be a Hawks guy.
No.
And resisted it, huh?
Even when they play the Sixers, everyone always messes with me and says, who are you going for? And all that type of stuff, you know what I mean? But, as long as I don't wear, the stuff in the actual, office. But, of course, when you go to the games, we get tickets and, I can rep whatever I'd like. So.
Well, let me ask you this, Stro. What are most Atlanta people feeling right now after that game?
I mean, a lot of people still have a lot of confidence in the team, which is, very surprising. Especially with Embiid, didn't have the best game last game as well. He had a pretty quiet game. He didn't, do what he really usually does from a scoring perspective. So I think tonight, definitely get Embiid back on that track, and then obviously some other guys. But yeah, a lot of people in Atlanta, to be honest, they're still pretty confident. They're still pretty confident.
That's fake confidence. That's denial confidence. What kind of fan is down there in Atlanta?
I'll be honest, they're fair weather fans. It was crazy. It was 5 minutes before the game. I took a video last game. 5 minutes before tip, there was barely anybody in the stands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Everyone, shows up late, even during when they weren't in the playoffs. It's more of a before the club type thing. You got everybody in their Gucci and their designer sitting in the nosebleeds just before they go out to the club. And, they just try to, it's all about a show down there. So
yeah, I got you. All right. Has Big Mike shown up down there yet?
No, I have not.
You haven't seen Big Mike? I thought Big Mike was Mr. Atlanta.
No, I haven't seen
him. Run the jewels, Big Mike.
No, I haven't seen him. They had Pastor Troy. He's a rapper. He performed in the stands, which was interesting.
Oh, you're Pastor Troy, Ty?
No, I remember Pastor Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they had him perform in the stands last game in the six-man section for the Hawks, which was interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
you think they go down? The Sixers win tonight, Stro, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Okay. Going back to the arena, real confident. You know what I mean? And it was just like I said, there was such a somber and beautiful silence when you were leaving the arena on Friday, and I expect the same thing tonight for sure.
All right, man. Well, you represent.
Appreciate that.
All right, Stro. There's Stro down there. How about that? Working for the Hawks, and no affection.
Well, I mean, I don't blame him. That's a fraud franchise, but...
Yeah, they're on the way up. I think they can be good. I think they could be next up.
They could be one of the teams on the rise. I'm saying...
Strategize
in totality, it's a fraud franchise.
Yeah.
They're never threats. They're never threats.
Yeah. Well, Dominique was there for game three.
Yeah, they're going to have Dominique.
He was hugging up... who was he hugging up? John Collins.
Oh, there you go. Quavo's been in the building. They got a new album out, the Migos.
Yeah.
Pastor Troy was a big Atlanta artist. He really only had one song that broke out up here. Timbaland produced it back in the day. You got to be a certain age to remember it, though.
Yeah.
So, I remember. There's no way Devin's probably too young to remember it. She was probably in elementary school.
I'm not going to lie. When the name was brought up, I kind of scratched my head a bit. Yeah.
Well,
I'm ashamed to say.
No. The only song, he was big down there, regionally. But Are We Cutting is the only song that came up here. And that had to be early 2000s. So, but he's down there. He's well known. Well, they're going to need a big artist, though.
That's a big scene down there.
Yeah, but they're going to need somebody
bigger.
Big
scene all of a sudden down there.
Yeah, it's just very friendly to film. But they're going to need some T.I. or Gucci or something. Pastor Troy not going to cut it. Y'all need more than that. Pastor Troy not going to cut it. Y'all come with another Pastor Troy level artist. Y'all getting blown out tonight. Y'all better get somebody hype for real. That Pastor Troy not enough. You saw what happened. You lose by 16 with Pastor Troy. You need somebody bigger.
Big Mike's bigger.
You talking about Killer Mike?
Big Mike from Run the Jewels.
That's Killer Mike.
That's Killer Mike?
Yes.
His name's Big Mike.
His name is Killer Mike. Like he kills microphones. It's Killer Mike. He'll do it. But that's only going to cut it to 10. They need somebody big.
A Killer Mike. I'm thinking Big Mike's another Mike, isn't he? Big Mike is not Atlanta. Big Mike is New Orleans.
All right. Well,
Killer Mike is Atlanta.
Yeah, that's what
Killer
they need.
Killer Mike from Run the Jewels.
Yeah, that's what they need.
Yeah.
But that only gets them losing by 10. They need somebody bigger. They're going to need Jeezy. They need, No. Truth be told, they need Outkast. If they don't get Outkast reunion, it's Sixers and Five. They're going to need some Outkast. And good luck getting them back together for this because you can't find Andre 3000. But that's what they need.
All right. 610-632-0975. It's good to see Meek down there for game three. Your favorite.
Yeah, he was talking trash. He was telling Ben he said, take advantage of, he was saying to Ben, rightfully, take advantage of Trey. Trey is inbounds in the ball.
Yeah. Ben's my new man right now, though. You know, I'm not going to criticize him today because, as you know, we're talking about the bet that I never make an individual bet, and I got lured into the bet of Ben Simmons' points, assists, and rebounds in game three over 28.5. And the way it looked, I gave up on it. In fact, I was walking around the house because I had given up on the bet because the outcome was already determined. And he scored a late bucket and an assist, right?
Yep.
He ended up with 29.
That also shows you how good these guys are at those bets.
But yeah, that's amazing. He brought home the money.
Yeah,
he's my man right now.
Honestly, think with the way Embiid's been feeling, he probably starts more aggressive early, and Embiid draws so much attention, he eased into the game.
Yeah.
But what's funny is we're at the point now where a player gets 27-9-8,
and it's not that good of a game.
Like that's not that. Yeah, good. Well, are you kidding me?
It's because he's been getting 35-40.
Right, but 27-9-8.
It's a good game. Yeah,
come on,
it's solid. Phil in the Northeast. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Yo, Mike.
What's up, Phil?
Nah, man, I talked to you guys on Friday and told you, going game by game with these Sixers, but you told me if they won, call in, so yeah, I am, man.
All right, man.
I'm still going game by game. I'm still not totally sold.
You're still not totally sold on what exactly?
When I say totally sold, I'm not the guy that's going to say, yeah, they're going to win tonight. I'm not there yet. I'm still going game by game. I'm more confident than I was game one, but I'm still going game by game.
What are you lacking here? Like, well, you watched three games. You watched the Hawks team fail to close out the first two, and then they got blown out in the third game where their confidence was totally cracked. What are you not seeing here?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the Hawks. It had everything to do with us. Like, I don't trust, like, 2-day layover in Atlanta. What? I don't trust that.
You don't trust it because you think that the streets are going to lure them into what? Something
I don't know if these Sixers are about their business yet. They're good. We're a good team. We're borderline great team, but I don't know if they're about their business yet. And this game will show it. And the closeout game, if we win tonight, the closeout game back home will show it too.
Where have they shown you that they're not about their business?
That's the thing. I haven't seen it.
This is not a knucklehead team. It's going to do something stupid.
They're pretty
united as a team, and they're coached by a guy who doesn't stand for it. That kind of thing. So, like, you're trying to talk yourself into bad stuff, Phil.
I'm treading lightly. I'm trying to tread lightly.
Yeah, but for what? What are you protecting yourself from?
I'm a Sixers fan. We've got to protect ourselves.
No, you don't. Not in this series. You protect yourself when it gets a little, the next series. You don't need to protect yourself now. This is a foregone conclusion now.
Yeah, I can't get that.
You're not enjoying it. Because you're being weighed down by this nonsense, you're not enjoying it.
I mean, it's been working. Me being so, scared has been working so far. So
that's not true.
What's working for you? The Sixers are plus 48 since the first half of game one. What's worse? You're not enjoying it. You have fear.
I do. I can't front. I do. I don't know why. I'm trying to bust
you in this fear here.
I can't be cocky right now.
All right, man. You got it, Phil. Be cocky. I told you from the jump, this team is not going to be good enough to beat the Sixers. And every game has given you an indication. You know, now next series, I'm not going to be this way.
No, then we'll take it game by game.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah, this series is pretty much, you see what it is.
I mean, the other part is he's saying it's working. How does he know that his negative energy is why they won by 16 instead of 26? How do you know that his whole karmic energy isn't hurting the team? He doesn't know.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Let me ask you this question, Devin. Are you a member of the Philadelphia fan base that fears? Do you have these old demons that hold you back from saying, yeah?
Yeah.
You do?
No. Okay. So I definitely used to be.
Uh-huh.
I think since becoming a member of the Philadelphia sports media community, I've gotten less so. But I will say during game one of this series, I was watching with my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally at halftime got up and was like, I'm going to a different room. And I was like, why? He's like, the vibes are off in this room. Like thinking he was. So it's very prevalent, like the superstition, the little things, like thinking that your individual actions affect an entire team. but I like to think that I myself am not a part of that population.
Okay, so you've risen past it.
I think so. I mean, I have my moments. Sometimes.
So what a young Devin, what created the moment of fear in you that you've carried on, that you used to carry on? What was it?
I have a very specific memory of watching. It was during that stretch when the Eagles went to the NFC Championship and lost when Andy Reid was coach.
Yeah. Lost several times.
Several times.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is what kind of scarred me, you know, like going forward. I don't know. I remember being a little girl, like sitting there watching. I think they were playing the Rams one year and they lost and I was heartbroken and I thought it was my fault.
That's a bad one. That's a bad example.
They weren't supposed to beat the Rams.
No.
Yeah, but I was like 10 years old.
Right,
I didn't know that.
That's where your parents should have said, don't worry, young Devin. We still love you. It'll all be all right. This was extra. Like them getting there for that particular one, that was gravy.
Yeah.
It was the next two.
All right. So now that you've grown up.
Yeah.
Have you learned that it's easy to process those Eagle moments by blaming it all on McNabb? Right.
Yes.
You've learned that that's how you deal with it, right? You just blame it on five and then you can move on.
Yeah. I will. Okay. One more.
Uh-huh.
When the Eagles won the Super Bowl 2018, I still have it, a white Eagles hat. It's their old logo and I had to wear it for every single game including the Super Bowl, and it worked.
Okay, so you're superstitious that way.
Yeah.
All right, and a lot of people are, but you know, I'm trying to get people to actually believe in their team. Like this, the disrespect that was going on the Sixers are the number one seed. The Atlanta Hawks are kind of a rising team, not ready, and so it's bugged me that like when that was shown, people didn't go, okay, well, now I got it. You know, and I think actually the majority of people are there after game three. Like, how many people are actually fearing that the Sixers are going to lose another game? Maybe they'll lose another game. How many people can actually fear that they're not going to win this series?
Oh, the series? Not many. But I think this is why I'm so thankful for NBC Sports Philadelphia. But they're going to extend. NBC Sports Philadelphia's coverage is going to end, and then they're going to fake like a 7:30 game. It's not going to come on until 7:50. And I know if I turn on that TNT 1 second before tip-off, I'm going to have to hear Shaq, Kenny, and Barkley all say that they still think the Hawks are going to win the series.
They can't possibly.
Yes, they are.
No.
Yes, they are.
What?
Because they have the, quote, better perimeter players, and the center doesn't matter.
Have you heard them say that after game three?
They haven't been on.
That's what I mean.
It was on ESPN.
They can't possibly.
They're going to.
No. Okay. I can't believe those guys, they played the game at least.
They could see where a team is not adequate than the other. They're going to. I'm telling you.
There's no way.
They still are.
Those guys. See, that would be fraudulent.
They're fraudulent.
Game three was pretty evident that they took that team's heart.
Yes, but they're not going to listen to it.
I think they are, actually.
Also,
yeah, I know why Kenny Smith doesn't look at that and go, you know, Charles may say something as a hot take, and of course Shaq's just a general hater, but Kenny Smith now sees what the landscape is.
Well, we'll see. I hope so. That's why I don't like when they say 7:30, because that tricks me into turning the channel, and it's 20 minutes of them talking rubbish.
Yeah.
20 minutes of them talking rubbish. I bet you they'd even watch game three, because they weren't working. They didn't watch. They look at the box score. They didn't watch. I guarantee they didn't watch game three.
Well, then, yeah. I don't have anything to say about that. Let's go to Dave in Center City. Devin, this is your first experience with Dave in Center City.
I'm honored and excited.
Good luck. Buckle your seatbelt. Okay. Here he comes. Go ahead, Dave.
What's cooking, gang?
What's going on, man?
Devin, welcome to the A-Team, and you're absolutely right. That Eagles-Rams NFC title game, Eagles had the ball at midfield, down 26-21, a minute 20 left in the game, and that buffoon Andy Reid called two student body right running plays when five could have took off with the ball and ran or passed. You're absolutely right. We should have won that game, and we would have played the Patriots. But let's get to basketball.
Okay.
Mikey Miss.
Yes.
Before I get to the Sixers, big bravo to PJ Tucker. I wanted the Sixers to acquire him from the Rockets, but let's rewind to game three. That's fucked. Durant and Kyrie Irving wanted nothing to do with Tucker. And that noodle of a bodyguard that rushed the floor, Tucker would swing and miss and still knock him out. Do you see that hold?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Durant doesn't want any part of anybody. He's a talker.
Yeah, he is. The security guard got banned.
Durant's personal security guard jumped during that altercation and bumped PJ Tucker in the previous game. Mm. So they banned him for the rest of the series because he overstepped. That wasn't league security. That was Durant's personal security almost jumping out, faking like he was league security. I mean, he worked for the league like auxiliary, but he was Durant's guy jumping in a fight.
Mikey Miss.
Yes, sir.
Sixers.
Yeah.
Six down and 10 to go. All the injuries to opponents in both conferences are falling the Sixers' way. But here's my dilemma, Mike, and I've stated this before. I have no faith in Doc Rivers in playoff combat. And until we win a chip, hopefully this year, then I'll be at ease. But his past, the botched 3-1 leads in series, the botched 10-point lead with 5 minutes left in the chip against the Lakers. I can't let go of that, Mike.
Well, you just got to look at the team he's coaching instead of him, like these traits that he's going to blow. This team is a pretty solid team, man.
Yeah.
If they play the Nets and those guys are still banged up, they beat the Nets. There's not even a question. And then you go, I'm not so sure that Phoenix doesn't play for the NBA title, to be honest with you, the way they're playing. But I don't know that the Phoenix can beat the Sixers in four games.
Right. Oh, real quick.
Yeah.
One of my favorite hip-hop artists is out of Atlanta, Yuck Mouth. I love you guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is.
Just trying to... All right. All right. He's just trying to.
He just picked somebody who's obscure that would make him look sound.
Yeah. I mean, we love Dave, though. Like, we love Dave, but it's like, stop.
Yeah. You didn't get the full crazy Dave.
He agreed with me. He liked my take.
Yeah. Yeah. He did like your take.
From like 2004.
When you were 10.
Yeah.
With the Rams. I remember that game. I didn't feel anything when they lost to the Rams or the Patriots because I thought both teams were better than the Eagles.
I was working with you during that time. Yeah. During the Rams. No, that was right before. The
Rams, you were working with me. Yes. Patriots, I don't think I was.
I was going too. I was working somewhere else by then. But for the Rams, and then I think you were still there for the Tampa.
I was there for Tampa.
Yeah. And Carolina. Yeah.
And I was there for Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona, you were back.
Yeah.
I was going by then, but you were back at that point, Arizona. That was the one where...
Yeah, I've never forgotten those three at all.
Yeah.
But I give him a break for the Rams and the Patriots.
Yeah.
Even though a lot of people don't.
The other team was better. So that was definitely not your fault.
Thank you.
The team was better.
Thank you.
Some of the other stuff might be your fault. We'll get to it before the next couple days.
Yeah, we'll do a deep dive.
We'll find out what's your fault. But that one, not on you specifically. Not you.
Yes.
Thank you,
Rams
Tyra.
Were just better.
All right.
Marshall Falk.
610-632-0975. Tyrone had a little experience at the Phillies game on Sunday. He goes to the Phillies game. A lot of people there to see the Yankees. But you think that, there's some things that are amiss.
Yeah, some things.
And then is this with the people or with the administrators of the ballpark here?
It's mainly with the people.
Okay. All right, we'll talk about that. 610-622-0975, back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's Mike Missinelli's show. I get people mad at me for letting five off the hook in the Super Bowl. All of a sudden, I got a rush of emails. How can you let them off the hook? Yeah, I know. I get it. The way the game proceeded, had he come up a little bigger, they probably would have won. But I went in thinking the Patriots are a better team.
Yeah.
Weren't they favored in the game?
They were. And also, I think that Favre did not play well.
Yeah, he threw a couple picks in the game, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But there was a lot of middle pressure in that game because Honeybun was getting his butt kicked right up the middle. Fraley was getting his butt kicked. If you go back and rewatch that Super Bowl, like they reshow it every year when they're reshowing Super Bowls, they unfortunately show that one. If you turn on and watch any series offensively for the Eagles, you see that middle pressure is hard to deal with because he was an elusive guy. Like McNabb could move, but middle pressure is tough to deal with because then if the ends play well and they do, it makes it to where you really can't escape the pocket because the pressure's coming straight up. He got his butt kicked every play, every snap of that game. Like now McNabb didn't play well, but middle pressure all day long. He's no, we thought he was a good center until we got a good center in Philadelphia. Didn't realize he wasn't that good a center.
Yeah.
He just wasn't. And that middle pressure, I think, was murder and them knowing the plays. But middle pressure and knowing the plays, they had no shot in that game.
Didn't he take over for another guy that we thought was good at first? Jamal Jackson.
Yeah, but Jamal Jackson got hurt. I think Jamal Jackson was pretty good, but he got injured. I think he was decent. Mm-hmm. I think Fraley was too small.
Well, who liked Fraley? Was it Andy Reid liked Fraley?
Yeah.
Or was that the offensive line coach?
I think the offensive line coach at the time. Because he was very smart and knew how to call out the blitzes and stuff. But he was an undersized guy. And they were running that 3-4 at the time. And every snap, he was just on his butt or getting pushed straight back into Favre's lap. It makes it tough.
All right, let's get to this Phillies issue. Now, yeah. I was watching the game on TV. I was relaxing at the beach. But I was watching the game on TV. Big crowd.
Big crowd. 38 grand.
Crowd, yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Yankee fans, obviously, in this crowd. What's the problem with the seating thing? People didn't know what to do?
Yeah, they don't know what to do. I think they're rusty. It's okay. We all get rusty.
The fans are rusty?
Yeah, how to sit.
On how to sit.
Yeah, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting on the end. My Sunday package seats on the end. That was intentional. Mm-hmm. And the people, so two seats, and then there was four, so six of us. But the rest of the row at this moment, because they were out going out getting ice cream and getting in the Chickies line and all that stuff, the seats were all sold, but no one's sitting there. Then these six people start to come down to the aisle to sit. Again, the other end, after the first six seats, is completely empty.
Uh-huh.
So rather go to the other side and just go directly to their seats, they instead ask six people to move.
Yeah, okay, now, were they accompanied by the usher?
No, the usher looks at the ticket and they tell him, but you have to have some common sense.
But that's an usher problem.
Nah.
Because the usher won't let him down unless he looks at the ticket. When he looks at the ticket, he says the easier route is the next aisle. That's an usher problem, not a
person problem.
It's not a person problem.
It is.
It's not.
You got to know better. You know, like even if you walk down there and you see.
They don't know from up top. If the usher sends them down the aisle, they're not looking at who they're going to inconvenience.
I was saying if I got down there and I see six people sitting there, I would automatically turn around, go around before I would inconvenience six people.
I would
too. Where's the home trainer?
I would too, but they're not going to do that. So it's the usher's fault for sending them down. That's a bad usher.
Now, those ushers do a great job. I'm not going to slander the ushers. I think
that's
these are people.
Bad usher.
No, the usher did a good job. I think they have to know.
What do you have them know? The usher has to know there are people that are in this the first few seats of this aisle, so it's easy to go to the next aisle.
Yeah, because had they just went the other end,
That's an usher anticipation.
I feel like it's people being rusty. Like, you got to know. Like, and it's not the end of the world. It's saying, but this was obvious.
They're not seeing that from when they proceed down the steps to get to their seat. They're not seeing you.
Yeah,
they can't possibly see you. The usher has to know that.
And then this particular crew that were not very smart fans, in my opinion, but you give them a pass. That's your right.
Wait, did you harumph them?
Yeah, I said something. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Why am I standing when you can just went to the other side and go directly to your seat? I said that out loud. Yeah. Luke was all mad at me.
What did they say?
Nothing. They didn't say anything. They didn't
all
do
right,
anything.
Let's get an impartial observer here. All right, Devin, you hear this? Because we talk about these dilemmas every now and then. All right, so this is Tyrone's dilemma is he was inconvenienced, which he was. And he's thinking that the people should be forward enough to think to go back up and go to the next row. When the whole problem could have been solved by the usher giving them the right instruction.
Yeah. Look, I'm saying they're probably rusty. Like, it's been a while. It's been a long time. But I will say I haven't been to a Phillies game in a long time. But at almost every Eagles game I've been to, I'm very directionally challenged. I try to go down the wrong aisle and I'm redirected to go like one around to where I don't have to do that.
Same with me. Sixer games. Those ushers are on top of that. No, it's a better eye. You go down that way, come in the easier way.
And Sixers games are even tighter, though, at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yeah.
Those, I mean, you're like really up in people's business if you have to squeeze by them.
Yes.
Oh.
All right, so usher. Usher problem.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll agree to disagree. In that crew of six that went by, it was interspersed with Phillies and Yankees fans together.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand that. That's very foreign to me. I would never do that. And throughout the whole stadium, there were these couples, young couples, I feel for them, because they're not going to make it, where the guy is wearing a Phillies jersey hand in hand with his annoying Yankee girlfriend, and she's in a Yankees jersey. To me, I don't understand that. That's very foreign to me. Why is that happening? Why is that allowed to happen? Are you that hard up for a lady that you would allow that to happen and vice versa? I don't understand that. Like, there's a lot of people out there.
Obviously, she's like a North Jersey girl who was a Yankee fan. Oh, you can't stand in the way, love.
I'm not telling you that they should break up. I'm saying we can't go to the game together if you're going to wear that jersey. Like Elaine and Seinfeld with the Orioles hat. Can't have it. Won't have it. Won't have it. Would not have it. Because if she does that, think about the other things she's going to take advantage of.
Come on, man. All right, we're gonna discuss this in detail a little later. Because I don't actually think that's... If she's a Philadelphia person who's a Yankee fan, it's a problem. But I've seen so many guys, they pick these girls up from North Jersey, and they're like in a relationship, and the North Jersey girl naturally is going to be a Yankee or a Met fan.
I'm fine with her.
It's the flaunting it, though.
Flaunting's a good word. Yeah.
They're coming to the game.
If you're going to be a fan, but don't wear the jersey to the game.
Well, they're coming to the game to root the Yankees. There's no pretense there. They're coming. They're a Yankee fan. They're coming to wear the Yankee. You just happen to be with the girls a Yankee fan.
I'm a hard-hearted man, apparently. You've said it. But Booney, a soft-hearted man, a Catholic man, says it's an immediate hell no from me.
It's a hell no for him.
Yeah, he wouldn't
do it. The guy's girlfriend. The guy's girlfriend's a Yankee fan. What are you going to do? Tell her not to wear the Yankee jersey?
Yes. Or maybe you should go with one of your girlfriends or something, because you can't go with me.
No, but then they have this byplay during the game. That's what makes it fun for them. The Philly fan gets on her because she's a Yankee fan, and vice versa. That's what their little thing is.
That's their thing?
Well, yeah.
For that particular
game, it's their thing.
See, Mike, we'll have to discuss this more.
We're gonna get into it a little later.
Confused.
Yeah, because we like to set down these hard and fast rules. 610-632-9797. 0975. We roll into the 3 o'clock hour. Mike Missanelli Show, back after this.
The Mike Missanelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic at 3 o'clock hour, brought to us by Court Police Bakery and Deli, where our famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. If you're watching us on TV and NBC Sports Philly today, you'll notice that one of the corners is occupied by Devin Caney, who's joining us today. Hanging
Hello.
Out with us. You having fun so far?
Having a blast.
Awesome.
Truly.
And we're going to engage you in this story.
Oh, boy.
A little later. But since we just talked about this jersey thing, and we'll get into the Sixers, obviously, because it's game day. Our pal AJ, Tyrone.
Yeah.
Our pal AJ tweets at me, if Mike Scott can't wear a Washington jersey, the GF cannot wear a Yankees jersey. Two different situations.
How so?
Because Mike Scott plays for a Philadelphia team. You can't play for a Philadelphia team and wear the jersey of an opponent team in football. You then become a member of Philadelphia. You can't be flouting your Washington Redskin love at the time.
No, she lives in the Philadelphia area, most likely, that couple with the Phillies and the... And
well,
the
you don't know that.
I do. And no, I do. Oh. They're here. And they're from here. And now you play for Philly. You live in Philly. You can't keep on doing that.
Okay, like, I agree with that. If the girl is from here, she can't...
No, what I'm saying is she lives here now. So I'm not saying she has to switch her allegiances, but she can't wear a Yankees jersey to a Phillies game. If you could go a Yankees jersey to a Yankees game, if it's Phillies Yankees up there, then do whatever you want there, Sally.
Now, hold on a second. If you're a Phillies fan and you happen to be living up there, would you question somebody wearing a Phillies jersey at Yankee Stadium?
I would question the relationship if the Yankees fan allowed it, yeah. I would question the relationship and wonder what the heck's going on.
How's he not going to allow it? What's he going to say? She grew up with it.
Okay. Listen, you can come with me to the game. I love to have you at the game. It's a great Saturday afternoon. But if you're going to wear that jersey, maybe we shouldn't go together. I'll see you after the game. Or you can go, you can have the ticket and go with someone else. But I can't be seen with you anywhere on earth. It ain't what you wearing a Yankees jersey.
That is way over the top.
Man. It's not.
Way over the top.
It's not.
The girl wants to go to date. He wants to go to the game. She wants to go to the game. She's a Yankee fan because she grew up in North Jersey now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the legit Yankee fan, not somebody who lives here and picks the Yankees because they like the pinstripes or whatever it is. So
I can't have that.
To me, it's clear.
Yes, yeah,
well, you can't. You won't have it because you're a hard-hearted man.
But see, I'm not.
This is like supposed.
I believe
like,
in love.
This is.
I believe in love.
Don't believe in love.
I do. I believe in
this
love.
This is just a relationship that's in this starter. Starting blocks.
Yeah.
Right? And it's just this thing to do together. It's kind of cool to him that she's a Yankee fan because she grew up. She's repping her team. He's repping his team.
So he's one of those guys.
Well, one of those guys.
Into that kind of thing.
You can't deny somebody's... I can't sit here and deny somebody's fandom if they grew up with it. That's the fair thing.
No, she
the
can
people
be a fan. I'm
come
not saying,
here and
I'm not
pick
a
team a la carte get on my nerves. But the genuine geographical connection to a team is not a problem.
It's not her rooting. See, this is maybe I'm not making myself clear.
Yeah.
Of course it's okay that she's a Yankees fan if she's from up there.
Okay.
By all means.
She wants to display her Yankee fandom.
And who am I? It's a 50-50 situation.
Right.
Who am I? But once you put that jersey on around me, now I do have a say. Now I do care. And you can't be around me wearing that jersey.
What is her jersey doing to you?
It's showing.
If you're secure enough to wear your own colors, why would you care what she wears?
Because I'm at a Phillies game. I don't want to see you. I don't want to. First of all, I don't like you for these next several hours. I don't even like you for that amount of time. Like, if you don't root for my squad, I don't like you. I'm not one of those people that think that that's funny, the back and forth. I don't want to be around you. You are disgusting to me.
You are disgusting.
Yeah, during this game for these 3.5, 4 hours, however long, while Nola's pitching, I don't like you right now. We're not together. We are on a break.
In a way, it's actually a fun experience because, like, for instance, the Phillies kicked the crap out of him, right? So he's got one up. Like, he's busting her all game long. Your squad. You know, that kind of thing. That byplay's fun.
It is?
Well, yeah. If Jerry got the upper hand.
See, maybe I'm not a fun guy. I'm guilty of a lot of things. I'm flawed. But I can tell you that it's a vibe. I would not go to the game with her under any circumstance if she's wearing a jersey.
All right, Devin. I'm gonna localize this now. All right, you're a Philly fan. You have a Philly jersey. You go to the game. You meet a guy who lived up there, whatever, North Jersey, was raised a Yankee fan, and you're dating him.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go to the Phillies game. It's a nice day. Hey, why don't we go to the Phillies game, son? They're playing the Yankees. Would you have a problem with him wearing a Yankee jersey?
If we were going to a Yankees game?
Phillies-Yankees. You're a Philly fan. He's a Yankee fan. You're dating a guy who's a Yankee fan.
Yeah.
He wants to wear his Yankee jersey to the game. Would you prohibit that?
As long as I could wear a Phillies jersey. And here's the thing. I think it depends on his behavior. Girl or guy, right? Like, if this girl, Tyrone, I don't know how she was acting. If she, you know, being really obnoxious, kind of obviously we embarrass the Yankees. I don't know what she'd have to be obnoxious about.
Yeah.
But say we didn't.
Uh-huh.
Kind of rubbing it in fans' faces, then that's a problem. I personally think you can be a fan of another team, but maybe don't wear their jersey. Like, maybe don't flaunt it. Maybe we just talk about it in private.
See, now we're adding little things to it, like the flaunt, the flaunt part.
The flaunt,
like,
that's like a good word.
Don't be obnoxious about it.
Be obnoxious a little bit with that pinstripe.
She mentioned if she's doing it with other fans, yeah, that's a no-no. If she's got a playful byplay going on where you're busting each other's stones together, that's not a problem. I don't think that's a problem.
So, what about this argument from Booney, which is, once again, he's just a wise man, just full of wisdom.
Yeah, I know.
The Phillies win, she's ticked off. If the Yankees win, you're ticked off. And then she doesn't understand why you're ticked off.
Well, naturally, they're not going to be in the best mood if their team loses, but that will wear away by the end of the night. Because you're going out somewhere else, probably have a drink or where you get bite to eat, whatever. It's going to wear off.
Drop you home after the game. We're not doing dinner together. We already did the game together. Why am I doing? Oh, I don't need. I don't understand this, Mike. Like, see, you believe?
No, I was in certain parameters. If I respect people who have a geographical connection to their team,
I do too.
I don't like it when you're here and you pick a team, but I can't, like, just like all of us grew up. We are Philadelphia team oriented, so I can't expect anybody else not to be their geographical team oriented. So they didn't have a right to try to rep their team.
They have the right, yeah, but just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
No, I'm not saying I would do that. And maybe the solution is that you just don't wear jerseys and you come to the game. But they want to. They, like, part of the fun is they want to rep their team.
See, I hear you. It's just, to me, going together in the jersey is just a non-starter for me. It's just like it would just like it could never happen. You can be a fan of whoever you want to be a fan of. Like, I shouldn't tell a person whoever they you're from Teaneck, New Jersey, and you're not allowed to root for a New York team. You should root for your New York team.
Yeah, yeah.
Not around me in a jersey, because it feels like, to me, actually, the way you're laying it out, like disrespect.
Listen, if I was in a relationship with somebody from North Jersey, was a Yankee fan, there's nothing I can do about that. Am I going to be a barbarian and say you can't wear the Yankee jersey at the game?
I'm saying, like, I'm not going to go with you to the game.
That's unhealthy to a good relationship when you're making rules like that.
I'm saying I'm not going to go to the game with you. Not that you can't. Of course you can wear the jersey.
So you would deny yourself fun by not going to the game?
No, I would go with somebody else. You can go and we'll meet up after or something.
Oh, so we can get her another seat somewhere else in the ballpark?
Yeah.
Oh,
I can't sit on, with man. Her. I cannot do it. Yeah. I couldn't sit with the fellas either. I can't do it. If I start allowing that to happen, then what else am I going to allow to happen? I think that's a slippery slope, Mike. You don't like when a woman's leading a guy around by the nose or the man dominates. It's a slippery slope. What else would you? Because I hold my sports dear. Sports all my life. I get paid doing this. Well, I'm homeless without sports. Homeless, Mike. Homeless. She wants me to be homeless. Yeah. No, I can't have that.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, okay. Listen, it was a really serious issue. Like, if we disagree with something, like, it was political, and we disagree with philosophies, like, you know, then that's different. But the sports thing, you're a Yankee fan, and you grew up a Yankee fan, all right, whatever.
Like,
you know, it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah, like, right. Somebody just sent me a picture, they sent it to you, where the nephew and his girlfriend went. And they have a child together, and they're getting married in October, and they both he wore a Phillies hat and she wore a Yankees hat. Now, see, a hat feels like not as much of a flaunt. Does it hit you different, Devin, the hat versus the jersey? Does it hit you a little different?
It's funny because I was literally thinking maybe a hat would be acceptable.
See?
But I'm also thinking, so I went to Pitt. We were discussing this before the show.
Yeah.
I have a lot of friends who are Steelers fans, and I've had to watch Steelers Eagles games with them, and I, even just as friends, have said, you know, guy, this past season, that game, I had to take a break. I had to say I can't talk to you right now. So to me, I personally don't know if that would help a relationship with the banter.
I don't know. It's to me just a small component of a relationship that I would have to say, all right, she grew up in Pittsburgh.
I think it also depends on the stakes of the game, though, right?
Yeah.
This was just
Oh, yeah, that probably. You know, if it's a playoff game.
Right.
Meaning,
World
yeah.
Series.
Right.
Phillies Yankees.
Yeah, it might be.
Make or break.
Might be a little different.
Yeah.
All right, let's go Spider, South Philly. Spider, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Spider.
Hey, what's going on? Good afternoon.
What's going on, Spider? How you doing?
I'm great, man. Listen, we're a couple hours away from another win tonight. I don't know why anybody's worried. I can't believe the guy that called in earlier talking about he take a game to game. Not in this series, man. The Hawks, as long as we don't come out with that first half in game one, it's finna be a breeze, man. Listen,
what are people not seeing? Like, it would be the upset of the century if those four guys on that TNT show would still be behind the Atlanta Hawks.
No, I mean, Shaq still is a little bit.
Shaq's just an NBA
yeah,
hater.
I know, but you should hit Charles up to see if he's still trying to bet some bread. Yeah, you know I mean, but I told you what Korkmaz sighting was going to happen, and I just hope these guys haven't let the weekend get to them. Like another caller said earlier, Atlanta on the weekend, whew, is troublesome. I hope these guys.
This could look like a go out team, though. I mean, Ben probably.
I don't know. I don't know what these guys like to do. And like I said, man, Atlanta, man, listen, Atlanta has a lot of allure with the nightlife, man. I'm telling you.
Well,
man.
I know Atlanta
especially
does, but like,
when you got some paper.
I'm sure Ben's got some spots, sure. But I don't think they're
right. These dudes been in the gym. I hope Ben been at the free throw line shooting free throws instead of in a nightclub. Ain't nothing wrong with going out during the day. But man, but I hope they hope the weekend consisted of getting up, getting a good breakfast, workout, you had yourself some fun during the day.
No, but who are you worried about? Let's break it down. Who are you worried about going out? Let's go through the roster.
All of them.
Well, let's go through the roster. What guy do you think has that kind of like reckless type of streak? Where Ben.
I really don't know. I don't want Joel ingested. Nothing that's going to make his tummy hurt. Yeah, you know I mean,
Maxie's not going anywhere. Where's Korkmaz going?
No, not Maxie. I said Joel. I don't need.
Yeah, Maxie's only 21, right? So Thibault's not. What does Thibault look like? An out guy
that are capable. I don't want y'all having no long nights drinking or anything like that. You know, I just want them focused, man, because I don't want them giving no reason to slip up and let these guys get a game, man. We going to end this thing on Wednesday.
Yeah,
man.
I'd be shocked. If Atlanta won tonight, I'd be shocked beyond belief.
I would be too, but I'm just saying, I just hope the guys are still focused. Don't get like the fans and start looking for the next series. I want y'all to stay in the moment. That's all I'm saying. And we got another good win tonight, man. Hey, Mike, I'm definitely with you when it comes to the jersey thing. I don't mind if my lady got a fan of another team. We can make little bets.
Well, only if she's from that area.
Yeah, she's from that area. As long as she's not, you know.
Yeah, like I would never have any tolerance for the other.
Not at all. It'd make a little relationship a little fun, too, when she into different sports teams and y'all can go back a little banter and make a little different bets with each other. That's all cool,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Like if I'm a Philly fan, I'm just, I'd be relentless for Sunday's game. Relentless. Hey, your squad stinks. Oh, your pitching staff's a joke. Where's Aaron Judge when you need him? See, you know, stuff like that. I'd be all over it.
So you have like you enjoy like the back and forth, like busting each other's stones type of thing.
Well, if I'm in control there in that situation.
Yeah, see, I don't find that fun. What it is.
It's just like little couples banter.
I mean, that can escalate. That can escalate. I've seen that escalate where you think it's play.
Well,
they in there, it gets real.
Well, if it escalates, then you got to get out of the relationship because it shouldn't escalate. It's just playful stuff. You know, it's like it's not a World Series, it's just a regular. It's a Sunday afternoon game, it's a date. You go out there, you know, you buy your ice cream with a helmet, and you know. You have a beer or two. It's just a fun thing, man. Your squad's awful, you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder that if you're actually a sports fan. Like, if you don't care, that's different. But if you're an actual fan, maybe you shouldn't date someone who doesn't root for your team. Or maybe you have to find somebody who's like not really a sports fan.
How many people we hear from? They're a married couple, and the one my wife's a fan of so and so, and we coexist.
Most times, one of the person cares more than the other. I don't know if, like, two sports fanatics. Like, could a Cowboys fan, like, fanatic, and an Eagles fan, fanatic, be married? I don't think so. I don't think you could be married.
There would be clashes, probably.
I don't think you could be married. Yeah. Like if you're... One person probably cares more than the other.
Yeah. I got you. All right, Ed in Wilmington. Oh, Ed, what's up?
Mike, how are you?
Good, Ed.
Excellent. Tyrone, Devin, good to see you on there. Listen, as far as where fandom, if she wants to wear the jersey, that doesn't bother me one bit. It's sure not going to get in the way. Tyrone doesn't draw a line in the sand. He draws a line in stone.
Yeah, he does. He's a hard-hearted man. He's
everything.
Yeah, he lives by a certain code that's unwavering.
And Mike, last year with the Flyers, you know, I like hockey. I had everything orange that I could find in the house, and I'm not on social media a lot. I had an extension cord, a lobster. I was into the Islanders and the Flyers. Of course, we didn't win it, but I was sending that out to a few people that I do, relatives and friends, just all orange. That's my superstition kind of thing. Yeah. But, Mike, I feel if we dial up the defense tonight, they'll look just like the Wizards did at the end of that series, with their tongues hanging out of their mouth, just gassed from trying to play a faster team. I think the defense should get after them, and Corky will get his shots probably. I think the coach puts him in there because he's going to get free looks. And, Mike, I like us to take the East.
Well, the way it stands right now, the Nets are really, you know, they're on very thin ice here. We have no idea what to make of them right now.
Well, what do you think they'd be doing down in the ATL, which is a lousy sports town, and they can call up Ray Lewis and he can tell them where to go, but I'm telling you, they wouldn't be doing anything, and I think the Sixers are a good gelled group. And, Mike, you got to rock the hat. What happened to your hat?
The Sixer hat?
Yeah.
Yeah, this series doesn't mean much to me.
Bring it back.
It doesn't. I didn't take the first two series seriously. I thought the Sixers were decidedly better and they wouldn't lose at all. I was shocked that they lost game one. But you see who the better team is here. And like, if you're the better team, you can't lose a 7-game series.
It's a sweet.
Yeah, the other team has to be closer to you. Yeah, I got you, man. I got you. All right, we'll talk to you, Ed. Yeah, I didn't bring the Sixer hat out today. It's not the clincher, first of all.
Yeah, too soon.
Yeah, I think in a clincher game, I might bring out the hat. 610-632-0975. Take a quick break. We'll come back with your phone calls. And don't forget, Matt Breen at 4:30 as we talk about the surprising Phillies inching up National League East, chasing down the Mets. All of a sudden, they have a squad, except for you get your boy blew another game closer.
I'm going to need him to go ahead back to that seventh inning.
Uh-oh. You have abandoned him?
No, he's still a club Tyrone, but I can't have
him.
Wait,
you've abandoned Neris as the closer?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Brogdon and see if he can put him in the deep water. I'm going to have to go switch to Brogdon. Or
you give it up, man.
I said he's still a club Tyrone, but I'm going to need him to take a break back to the seventh inning, get himself right, and maybe he can come back, see if the kid can do it on the road. We're going to have to find out sooner or later anyway.
You got to send Brogdon in the L.A. as the closer.
Yeah. Because I can't do Alvarado. And otherwise, what, Ranger Suarez? There's not that many candidates.
Archie Bradley.
Bradley, is he healthy?
All right. Yeah, he's been all right.
All right.
Mike Missinelli Show, 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, 3:30, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. And it's time to update our Twitter poll with Devin Caney, who's in with us today. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. All right, Devin, what are the numbers show?
Thanks, Mike. The question was, who should the Sixers start in place of Danny Green tonight? And Matisse Thybulle is leading. We've got a lot of votes already. By 47.6%, with Korkmaz in second, Shake Milton, and then Tyrese Maxey, but both of them have under 8% of votes.
All right. So Corky is the people's choice. And, you know, it's normally Thybulle is, but after the game, there were a lot of Corkies that came out of the woodwork because I heard from all of them.
Yeah, they find you. They look for you.
They absolutely find me. And so I always get the question with Korkmaz. Why do you hate Korkmaz? It's not that I hate the guy. It's just that I am a guy who appreciates consistency. And the guy just has never been ever consistent. And so I look at that and I go, people don't remember that he puts bad games in a row. They only remember the one game where he'll make a couple shots. Now, he'll make some shots every now and then. I don't hate the guy. I just don't think that he is at a level where he can really help you in a real playoff game. Now, he happened to do that against Atlanta. He came out of the gate. What do you want me to do? Sometimes he's going to do that.
Yeah.
That doesn't sway me to the Korkmaz side, though.
Yeah, you're looking for consistency, and people only are paying attention to
a three-point shot that goes in.
Yeah, the spurts. Now, this will be interesting if I think he's going to go Korkmaz, but I could be completely wrong. He could go Thybulle. I'm very interested in either way. Danny Green's one less body, which means there's more minutes over a course of a game for guys like him. So whether he starts or doesn't, does he follow up a good game with a good game? That doesn't happen enough. Like, because let's not forget that there was a game this series, so it's not like it was a year ago, where he shot two air balls in a row and then the coach couldn't put him back in and he was minus 11 in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, that happened in these playoffs. Like, it didn't happen against Wiz. I'm saying against the Hawks. He had a game in which he shot two air balls and was minus 11 in 4 minutes and Doc didn't feel like he could play him. They won the game despite him. So the question is, can he put together a couple games in a row?
Yeah.
Because no one ever tweets you after the
It's not even recognized.
So.
All right. Listen, knock yourself out today, 30. I think 30 makes some shots. Get rid of this Atlanta team and move on. I just want to get rid of this Atlanta team. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
All right, situation here. I've been ordering so much stuff online that I forget what I order. Has this happened to you?
That's happened to me before, yeah.
Because the deliveries are not coming as readily as they used to.
Yeah, they're slower now.
Right, so I've completely forgot what I order. So I got, last week I'm getting this notice. We tried to deliver a signature needed. This is a FedEx message. We tried to deliver it and no one was home. It requires a signature. I go, what the hell requires a signature these days?
I guess they're bringing that back because it was gone for a while.
I can't remember what I ordered. What would it be?
Alcohol? Was it wine?
Oh, I didn't order alcohol. Something arrived today and I go, I have no idea what this is. I've lost complete track of my orders.
I don't know.
And they don't tell you what it is. So you wait till it gets home.
Well, they'll tell you where it's from. They'll sometimes tell you who shipped it. Like where it shipped from.
Yeah,
they didn't tell me that.
It came from Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, see, they should tell you what manufacturer sent it.
But what do you... All right, now, here's the only thing I can think of. Months ago, I was looking at this... This deck heater. You know how, like, you see those, if you go to a restaurant that has outdoor, they know they have the heater.
I have one of those.
You have those little umbrella ones?
Yeah.
Well, I have one of those and it rusted and corroded. So, it's too cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm thinking, because my sister always gets cold sitting out on the deck at night. So, I figured, I need something for when the fam comes. So, I saw this little thing. It's a propane tank. And this contraption is hooked to it, and it has these two spiral heaters.
Oh, that's nice.
So it's not like... I think that I ordered that a couple of months ago, but I don't know. And I'm thinking, could that be the item that needs a signature since it's connected to something flammable?
I mean, maybe, but I know many of people who got those shipped when they could and they didn't require a signature. But it could be that.
I have no idea what it is.
I don't know.
And I have no idea what I just ordered that arrived today.
So you got to open the box when you get home.
Yeah.
But you don't know what it is.
And I'll go, I guess. Like a couple months ago. I've lost complete track of stuff. I had an addiction there for a while. Where I was just looking at stuff. I just go, I need this. I need that. So I go online. I find it. And I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't even remember why I need it.
Huh. I'm trying to think what else... I guess it could just be that company's policy, and it could be socks, but they just require a signature.
I ordered pillows the other day.
Oh, you need pillows.
I don't need pillows. I just ordered. It was a Macy's sale of Charter Club pillows. They were $5. No, it was Ralph Lauren pillows.
Well, that's nice.
$5 each.
Well, that's...
I might as well get a couple.
Yeah, well, you either need them or you can need them at the Shore House.
I guess I could use it.
You can never not use it.
Throw away some old funky pillows.
Yeah, apparently we don't get rid of our pillows enough.
Yeah, they're funky.
Apparently we're supposed to get rid of them much more often than we
do. I've tried to wash pillows.
How's that work out, though?
It doesn't work out that great. It doesn't. It loses its essence.
Yeah, every so often, my wife just throws them out.
Yeah.
They're just gone.
Because it's got like mouth slobber stains on it sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, Devin? You get that mass
I do. I get it. I just wish pillows were a little less expensive if we're apparently supposed to buy new ones.
Ralph Lauren pillows, $5 at Macy's.
You find a deal. They're using more than that.
Yeah, it was like some big department? Bed and Bath department?
You'd be a big Macy's man, I feel like.
Well, no, for stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying. You've been going to Macy's for stuff.
Towels. And pillows and pots and pans.
You're a Macy's man.
Like stuff like that. It's easy.
Nah.
Yeah, and you always get a Macy's coupon.
You do get a coupon.
Friends and family, you throw that in there.
You do get a coupon. They do give you a coupon. Yeah. Like you can go buy like a high-end, like I'm saying, like polo, something that's like kind of costly.
Yeah.
Yet you'll still get a coupon at the end. So it's like
expensive
and a discount at the same time at the Macy's.
Like a bathroom rug.
Those deals.
You gotta
go down or up the escalator for those. Those aren't on the main floor. You gotta go down or up the escalator.
Now I just do it online. I don't even go there anymore.
Wait. This is just occurring to me now. You ordered pillows online, though.
I ordered the pillows online.
Without testing them. Don't you have to? You gotta squeeze them.
I bought that Lauren pillow before at Macy's.
Okay, so you knew.
I was looking for sheets, I think. And the sale pops up where it's like 60% off. 60% off pillows, and I go, might as well grab a couple of these pillows. They're $5 a piece. It was the Lauren pillow that I bought before.
So at least you knew. I was going to say that's
risky. Yeah, no, I knew it. It wasn't a risky pillow. It was a brand I had bought before.
All right.
Wait, so like you think pillow is a risky buy?
Well, you have to feel it, you know? Yeah. It all depends on what you're looking for. Do you want, you know, a Tempur-Pedic?
Yeah, firm? See, the Tempur-Pedic doesn't work for me. It's too hard.
Mm.
You know? I need, like, I'm fussy about the pillow. It can't be too thick. I like a thinner pillow.
Oh, so you're like the thin, like, not hard pillow.
I'm a thinner pillow, not real thin, but thin enough where, because I get the arms underneath the pillow.
Okay.
And when you get the arms underneath the pillow, if the pillow's too thick, your neck is in a bad spot.
Yeah.
See, I can't do that. That hurts the shoulder.
Really?
I'm going to get my shoulder looked at. I feel like something's been
wrong. You must have something wrong with it,
though. I might have something wrong, I think, from birth. You know, I never could throw with the velocity I thought. I wouldn't be shocked if, like, I don't have a rotator cuff or something. I was born wrong. I wouldn't be shocked. I never could throw with the velocity.
I have a labrum problem.
Like, from forever. I'm saying from when I was seven.
You couldn't throw?
Never, yeah. Never. Always had. Really? That's why I couldn't play center field in my baseball career. Because if I can't play center field, I'm out. Got to play second base because I can't throw.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Not being able to throw.
Ended the career.
Wow. That's why you had to gravitate towards other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and Conchi, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Mighty Mike, always great, buddy.
What's up, bud?
Before we talk about the most infuriating Philly in 55 years, let's run a few fun facts. First off, the definitive on the repping of jerseys is, you know, it's a twofold responsibility. You know, one, the person, you know, repping on the road, you know, can't be a total a-hole. And the home fans, you know, can't be all over them, kind of like, you know, in Invincible, you know, whether she won with a Giants jersey. But, you know, of course, girls get a little more leeway. But you can rep whatever you want as long as, you know, both sides understand and are mature about it. Very simple.
Well, you can't rep unless you have the geographical connect.
Exactly.
That's the first requirement. Now, also, I think Tyrone's right. If you're an obnoxious repper, like if I'm with a lady who's a Yankee fan, I get to a Phillies game and she's obnoxiously repping the Yankees in the Phillies ballpark, that would be a no-no.
Now, and we all know that Yankees have scoreboard because of the 27 World Championship, but even though 20 to 25 of them were won at a time when there was maybe one other good team and most of the pitching staff threw underhand, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, they always have that. And, you know, I come to you with really the most pressing issue with this Phillies team because I'm convinced that me and you as a manager with maybe Mo and Jeter and a group of Babe Ruth All-Stars could have probably beat that 2009 Phillies team. And maybe, you know, we give Tyrone, if he doesn't mind, the MVP. Yeah, come on. That team was unfocused and undisciplined, basically. But here's my...
What was wrong with the 2019? It went to the World Series.
I know, but we pitch around Chase, and we let Lee win his two games. We're basically home free. But here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Hoskins. Because seriously, at some point, either the guy's got to move down to eight, or, you know, be out of the lineup, or, you know,
He gets in the slump. Like, you overreact to a slump here. He had been producing power numbers.
He did it for half a year, the previous year, Mikey. I mean,
yeah, but you missed the part where he was hot. How come I didn't hear from you when he was hot?
Yeah, but here's the thing. I know, but when he's not hot, he's a detriment. Just for example, that game when Bryce led off, you know, the ninth, and he's on second, you and I both know he's not in a position to move the guy over. I mean, he's a detriment to the lineup right now.
Only because he's in a slump. Guys break out of slumps. Look at his power numbers.
It doesn't matter, Mike.
Yes, it does. He's got 14 doubles and 12 home runs. What are you talking about?
25. I mean, he's over 25 right now.
People go through slumps. We expect no slumps.
Let me ask you something. If you had somebody and you had to get him in from the...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I did that by accident. I don't get your point here. Rhys Hoskins sometimes will go through slumps. Every baseball player will go through an ofer. He has to be an ofer right now. But his power numbers, he leads the team in home runs and RBIs. So, like, what are you going to do? We're going to bench him? Is that your solution?
And for who?
What are you going to do? You got to live with it. He's going through slumps. He'll come out of it. His average dipped a little bit here.
He was their best hitter in May. He didn't call not one time about him. He was their best hitter in the month of May. June has flipped, and now Segura's gotten hot. First of all, they're winning. He said that after they've won a bunch in a row, too.
You can't turn a peach into a nectarine. He's a peach. Sometimes peaches get bruised.
He'll be back, and he'll be hitting home runs. That's still the same, but we get it.
Did that make any sense?
The nectarine doesn't get talked about enough.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't get bruised.
It doesn't get
bruised. Nectarine is a solid piece of fruit.
Really?
Oh, I much prefer.
I've never know about the bruising.
I much prefer nectarine over a peach.
More of the green grocer on the other side.
Seriously, you don't think a nectarine is better than a peach? They engineered the peach to a higher level.
I don't get, you see, I probably haven't had a nectarine in quite a while.
Why wouldn't you?
I don't know. I get a peach and a plum.
It's a smooth peach.
I'm going to buy a nectarine this weekend.
Are you a nectarine person, Devin? Rank your fruits. Rank your fruits right now.
Okay. Oh, well, apples.
You go apple number one?
Apple one?
Apple one. Fuji, like the sweet red pink kind.
Yeah, you're missing the higher level apple.
All right.
Watermelon.
The Honey Crisp and the Cosmic Crisp, a higher level apple than your Fuji.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, quite good.
Yep. It's been tested.
Are those more tart or sweet, though?
They're sweet. They're tremendous. They're crisp.
What's it
they
called?
They never lose their crispness. Honey Crisp or a Cosmic Crisp.
Okay. I've had Honey Crisp. I do like Honey Crisp. I do like
them. All right.
Them.
So apple's your one. What's two?
Apple's my one. Two, watermelon.
Watermelon two.
Yeah.
All right. Three.
Yeah. I feel like I'm going to regret that number two choice. Three, grapes.
Grapes a solid choice.
Very solid grape.
That's a solid choice at three.
Yeah.
All right.
Feel like in 3 minutes you're going to have a different order.
Though. I 100%
you on
will.
The spot.
I'm going to start thinking about this, and I'm going to amend
the nectarine is the most versatile fruit on the market.
Well, you can't put it number one.
I've come close to putting it number one.
Well,
now, if I didn't like cherries so much, like big cherries with the big,
See, I know nothing of a cherry.
Tremendous.
All right.
610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, there you go. One of the great openings ever.
Yeah, it's
a
big
song.
Yeah.
Orchestral. Mike Missinelli Show. The Sixers tonight are a 3-point favorite. And we don't know who the starting lineup is yet. I assume that they'll just spring that on us near game time.
So it
really doesn't matter to me. I trust Doc here. If he thinks that Korkmaz can continue and get him off to a good start offensively by spreading the floor that way, fine. And I don't have a problem with Thybulle either, because I think Thybulle, with Ben on the floor, can really have a defensive posture that can frustrate them and just demoralize them early. In any event, I think the Sixers win this game, and then they come home and they wrap it up in game five.
That's where I'm at.
All right, one quick thing, because I'm getting a lot of emails since we were talking about this jersey thing. Luke Williams. This is a photo that got circulated on social media of Luke Williams showing up at the games. I guess it was Sunday, right?
Yeah, yesterday,
with a kind of a case of beer, and he was wearing a Brooklyn Nets jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I can think of is that that was a prank that the team put the rookie up to, because I can't believe that kid's such a humble kid. There's no way he would do something like that.
You sure?
Yeah.
Devin,
plus, he's a California kid. He would have no connection to Brooklyn. So that's, I think that's some team leaders in there trying to, let's see how hard we can make it on this kid and put the Brooklyn jersey with the man who has to wear the Brooklyn jersey and bring us beer.
He looked way too happy to be in that jersey, though. That was the thing.
Well, he had a mask on, didn't he?
He had a mask on, but, like, he looked He looked proud. He was also like, I don't know.
I don't know. Smiling with his eyes.
We got to get more on this because I can't believe that he would be a Brooklyn Nets fan. I'm thinking that that was Prank City. Who's the leader in that clubhouse?
I don't know.
Ramuto and Harper.
It better not be him.
Ramuto and Harper.
Ramuto wore a Celtics jersey.
He did?
Yes, they took a picture on it before they headed out west, and he was wearing a Celtics jersey in it. If he's the team leader, this team is doomed.
That's no good. That's like a Mike Scott violation.
That's far worse. Because we hate the Celtics more than we hate Washington.
Yeah.
It's far worse. I'm tempted to trade him.
That might be a Harp thing. Harp may have like a little sinister thing. Let's see how the kid handles this.
I think he did it on his own. He's just like, really? I just like KD. I grew up watching him.
We're going to find out more about that. That's why Matt Breen's got an answer for that.
I hope he does.
Yeah. We'll have Matt on at 4:30. Let's go to Tim in Blackwood. Tim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tim.
Mike, Mr. Lay.
What's up, Tim? Mike, what's going on?
Mikey, Miss, how are you?
What are you doing?
Man, Mike, I got to tell you, I was married to a woman who was like a different sports team. They didn't work, Mike. We was unequally yoked.
What? Well, wait, what was the sports team, and what was her connection to it?
Okay, so originally, I'm a Philly fan now. I mean, I'm Philly through and through, Flyers, you know, Eagles, all of them. But I'm originally from New York, so I was a Knicks fan.
Uh-huh.
And this is back in the 90s, and she was a Chicago Bulls fan.
Yeah.
And they were rivals.
Yeah. Was she from Chicago?
Yeah. Well, she was from St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay.
But Mike, it hurt my very soul when she rooted for the Bulls. I couldn't take it.
Well, it's because the Bulls were winning, and you know. But the Knicks weren't beating the Bulls. That's why you couldn't take it, because she won up to you.
Well, it's true. It's true, but I couldn't take it.
And that was the reason why you guys split?
No, that's not really the reason why we split, but if you are...
It was a factor?
I think it was a factor, Mike.
See, I gotta be honest with you, Tim. You've got no clout in that thing. Like, she's got the upper hand. She's the Bulls. You're the Knicks. You got the inferior product there. So, like, what was the beef? You didn't understand you had the inferior product?
No, look, Mike. It is when you are a fan, you know, a true fan, like I'm a fan now, or of the Philly team. When someone is, when someone that you're with is rooting for another team, it's going to bother you.
Well, but you knew that going in, that she had a geographical connect to the Bulls.
No, actually, I didn't.
You should have found that out.
Yeah, I
should have. Yeah, I don't know if I can help you with that little situation, but you see, I go, you know, okay, the woman's a Bulls fan. I'm a Knicks fan. I go, the Bulls are better. What am I going to do about that? Like, is that going to be, like, I'm going to have to beef about that? I got, it's a matter of fact situation.
It depends on how much she has to say about it. Because I tell you, that's not going to make me happy.
She can say anything she wants. She's got the upper hand. I got nothing at that point.
So that's what I want to enter a relationship with nothing.
No.
That sounds fair. That sounds like it's going to work. I'm sitting there, nothing.
You just got to wait for the day when the Knicks are better than the Bulls. You just hang in there long enough. Now, apparently he didn't.
Next thing you know, you'll be asking to go to the bathroom. Honey, can I please go to the bathroom?
You don't have to do all that, but you got to go. Like, why would you get mad? She's rooting for the Bulls. The Bulls are the better team. The Bulls beat the Knicks. What can I do about that? Like, it seems futile to argue.
Well, I wouldn't argue. I'm just saying it feels nasty to me.
All right. 4 o'clock hour. We have two open lines. So you want to handicap the Sixer game tonight. I'd love to hear your support for either Corky or Thibel or, I don't know, maybe some Maxi people out there. Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4 o'clock hour, Mike Mastelli Show. Free Matt Breen joins us at 4:30. 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landisbc.com. If you're watching us on TV, we have a new face with us today, Deb McCaney. She has been in the Philadelphia sports media for a while, especially in the area of lacrosse. A lot of work on the Wings telecast on NBC Sports Philly. And also with the entire NLL, the whole league.
Yeah, the whole league.
The whole league. You're a big hitter in lacrosse.
Yeah, which is funny because I didn't play lacrosse that much when I was growing up. People always ask me that.
No, you are, but you were an athlete.
I was an athlete.
Yes. And so you're Radnor High girl.
Yep.
Radnor High girl. And rowing.
Rowing.
Which is like, I could never like conceive of getting up that early to go, you know, row for hours.
Yeah, Mike, it's not the most fun sport, I have to say. I learned a lot doing it, but yeah, I can't say I've tried it again since my days
what gets you in the rowing? I'm always curious, like, what's the first step in the rowing? Did somebody in your family row or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So my dad was a big rower. Okay. I thought, you know, like it's big around here. We got Boathouse Row.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
And also just being, I'm tall and being a tall person kind of makes you automatically like a cheat code in rowing.
Which I never knew.
Yeah.
I would think the opposite. Like I would think the tallness would be against you, but it's beneficial.
Isn't well, if you're a rower.
Yeah, isn't it about the stride?
Yeah, because it's more leverage. But if you're small, you can be what's called a coxswain, which is the people
front,
doing
the instruction. Yeah. I covered the Dad Vale over Goddard many times.
Oh, okay.
As a writer for the Inquirer. Did you participate in the Dad Vale when you were in high school?
No, that was just college.
Okay.
High school is Stotesbury.
Oh, really? They don't have any high schools in Dad Vale? Oh,
were
Stotesbury?
They?
Okay.
Stotesbury is the biggest high school one, yeah.
All right. So I know this is like when you get in this business and you got to make transitions to move up and do different things. So you started out in Boise? Was that your first job?
That was my first on-air job.
Okay.
First on-air job after I got my master's in journalism. And yeah, I did. I lived in Boise. I covered Boise State football and the Smurf Turf. I was only there for a year, but yeah.
All right, so what's that, like making that decision to go to Boise, Idaho?
Yeah.
Being a girl from here?
Yeah.
What's that like? What's that step like? Were you frightened by that or what?
It's funny because looking back, it's more terrifying than at the moment. I was kind of just, I had moved around. I went to grad school in D.C. I'd lived in L.A. before that. I had moved a bit already. And I knew, you know, I went to Boise because it's a small market. People go to small markets.
Yeah, and they work their way up from there.
Yeah, and I knew if I was going to do a small market, I was going to go somewhere that had outdoor activities, that was pretty. Boise is really pretty. People think it's just like potato fields, but it's not. And that had something of a sports scene, and I knew Boise State was obviously pretty big in that.
Yeah, so did you like it? Or were you going, oh my God?
Both.
Okay.
I made the most of it. I don't regret it. After about a year, I was definitely ready to get back to reality.
All right, well.
How many black people did you see while in Boise?
Like one.
Yeah, that weren't on the football team. There was like no black people at all, right? No, I'm being serious.
No, it's literally like I think one of the, I honestly want to say like 90% white. Demographic. Don't quote me on that.
No, I'm saying based on your observation when you were there.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's, yeah. There's very little diversity.
I thought maybe you'd say, it was just one pocket.
No.
One person.
No, one pocket. Like, oh yeah, there was this one neighborhood where it was like 12 black people.
It was actually just one person.
Yeah, total.
All right. So, well, glad to have you back in the Philly area, Devin.
Thank you.
All right, so I'm looking at some lines now. This is an anomaly for the people that I have to explain this a little bit because the Nets have thrown the books into a tizzy right now. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the Milwaukee Bucks are now the favorite in that series with the Nets. obviously because of the health problems they're experiencing. Kyrie going down, James Harden, you never know what his situation is. The Bucks, after winning two games, are now -145 to win the series.
Wow.
That's solid favorite.
That's pretty, yeah.
Now, here's the weird part about that. The Nets are still the favorite to win the Eastern Conference by the betting odds because they're figuring that the if they survive the Bucks series, which they're saying they won't now because of the injuries, if they do survive it, the health gets better for the Nets. And if healthy, the books are saying they're the best team. They're the favorite.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
It's never happened in any other sport except the NBA, that betting anomaly.
Yeah, see, to me, that's all stay away for now with them. I wouldn't do any wagering when it came to that team until you see them play again.
Here are the odds. The odds to win the NBA title. The Nets are the favorite at 12-5. The Jazz are second at 13-4. The Suns at 7-2. The Bucks at 19-4. And the Sixers 11-2. Still not getting respect.
Yeah, they're not gonna.
Wow.
They're not gonna.
And so they're the third favorite to actually win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, even though it's impossible for both of those teams to be in front of them. Only one of them can. Only one of them can be.
Yeah, it's very strange. All right, let's go back to the phones. Frank in Harrisburg. Frank, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frank.
I've been watching the last four games of the Phillies, and I'm thinking that maybe Joe Girardi said, hey, let's start putting the ball in play. Let's start hitting the singles. Let's forget about the home runs. Let's forget about striking out. What's your thoughts on that?
I don't think that they've changed their philosophy. I don't think that, like, you click a finger and they're going to start putting the ball in play. I just think it's coincidence.
Well, if it's coincidence, I like it. Hopefully, they're going to do well in the West Coast. I think that their offense is really perking up right now, and I can see it. I know you don't like to talk about Herrera, but he's been hitting the ball down the third base line. There's nobody there.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably change that up now because
he's defeating the shift. Also the Yankees.
Yeah, I know he did.
All right. Anyways, what I want to say about the Sixers is I was living in California in 83, and I saw the Sixers play Golden State, and I saw the Lakers play Golden State, and I thought both teams were pretty even, so I was kind of surprised when the Sixers swept them in the series. And I think this team has the possibility of being just as good as that team, but, you know, they've got a tough series ahead of them, whether it's the Bucks or the Nets.
Yeah, I think that the 83 team is considered one of the better NBA teams of all time, though, so... You know, I think that, you know, the competition of who they're facing may be a little lesser than the 83 team. It's hard to compare, but that Sixer team was the 83 team was really good.
Yeah, they were a great team. All right, well, I'll be watching tonight. Thank you.
All right, man, you got it. Phillies tonight, it's Spencer Howard will start it against Tony Gonsolin. The Dodgers are a monster favorite in this game. -172.
Well, Sixers, we talked about it last week. Sixers play, let's say, like 7:50, the game starts.
Yeah, and then you wrap right into the Phils Dodgers and stay up late.
Will Spencer Howard still be in the game?
No. Wait, he'll be in the game for 45 pitches.
So I'm saying when the Sixers game's over,
yeah.
If you were to switch over, which you should watch post-game and then Sixers outside, but if you switch, will Spencer Howard still be in the game when the Sixers game's done about 10:30, let's say?
Yes.
He'll still be
He'll still be in the game.
So, good. All right. 10:45?
Close.
And by 11, he's gone.
Maybe. All right. Let's go to John in Newark, Delaware. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon.
What's up, John?
Hey, to reference Tyrone's comments about people wearing opposing colors to a sporting event, my wife and I have been longtime Eagles fans. And to show our loyalty, we are booked on the Eagles fan cruise coming up in March.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we've been postponed now over a year because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now I've decided to add my two boys and their wives to join us on the cruise.
Oh, look at
you. The rub of this is one of my daughter-in-laws is a Cowboys fan. The other is a Steelers fan. So I've jokingly told them, when we go on a cruise, do not wear your gear or you're liable to get thrown overboard.
Yeah, there's no reason for her to wear the gear. It's an Eagles cruise. It's not even a game against their team.
Yeah, we're going for the fun, you know.
That's a clearly defined situation. but for instance, if your son was going to see the Eagles Steelers game, and she wanted to wear a jersey. First of all, it's a different circumstance with that sport and that stadium. That's where you're kind of putting your. I would advise no one to wear a jersey of an opposing team at a football game. Baseball's a little kindlier, you know? Yep. Sunday afternoon ball game is a little different atmosphere. Got me?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, listen, you have fun on that cruise. Sounds like a good time. That's a really nice thing for you to do.
You want to think about signing up for that. Do a remote broadcast from the Bahamas.
A cruise to the Bahamas, huh? Aren't we doing something like that? Cruise? No?
Not us.
No?
Mm-mm.
Eagle cruise to the Bahamas just for the Eagle fans, John?
They say 4,000 people. Eagles, 25 players as guest hosts, and 4,000 fans are going to stop at Cape Canaveral.
Wow.
And then two stops in the Bahamas.
Well, that seems like a good time.
Yeah, it's a chunk of money.
4,000 people is a little, yeah.
Well, in this day and age, I doubt they'll make the 4,000, but that's what they advertise.
In this day and age.
Yeah, in this day and age, 4,000 is a little crowded for me. All right, buddy, you have fun.
Hey, we will.
All right, man, that's nice. They add the kids and the wives to the cruise. Probably paying for it all.
Yeah, see, that's one of my, there's many issues I have with a cruise. One of it is, when you don't have kids and you're going on a vacation, you probably don't want to add kids.
Well, they're married kids, though.
Right.
Right.
Well, no, he has kids. What I'm saying is that an adults-only cruise? Speaking of kids, or are children allowed on that cruise?
I wouldn't think children would be allowed.
Some cruises they are. And that's a problem for me, because if I don't have kids, I don't have the kid patience. So then I don't want to then go on vacation and then be around kids.
Yeah, I wouldn't go on a cruise that had a lot of kids on it.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's not my idea of fun.
Right. Now, they do have some cruises where there's like the adults only, like, because cruise ships are huge.
Yeah, and they're usually casinoed up, so kids can't go to certain parts of it.
But what I cannot do is do that for me. Now, if I had kids, my brain would be recalibrated to having the kid patience that I don't currently have. You used to have the kid patience, then your daughter got grown, and now you probably have lost your kid patience.
No, I have great kid patience.
Still? Yeah. You want kids splashing you and stuff when you're sitting by the pool?
No,
cannonballing and loud?
No, I don't do that.
Well, that's what you would have to do, perhaps.
I wouldn't go on a cruise with kids. I'm not a big cruise guy. I've been on a cruise once.
I have not.
Not that big of a deal.
I've only done like the river cruise, like the day trip type cruise. I've never done a proper cruise.
Yeah, all you do on the cruise, you eat and you go into the casino and there's a pool and too many people at the pool.
They have good gyms, I've heard, on some of those ships.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's all encompassing, but still, it's like, you know, I can't spend enough time on a cruise.
I got you.
Like the cruise I went on, you got off at ports. And, you know, it was like, you know, it's Egypt and Turkey.
You're an aristocrat. And
Israel the Greek islands. You know, all that stuff. That was
a... Yeah, type cruise I'm going. It's going to go from Florida to the Bahamas, Florida.
I'm going to go to the Bahamas. Cruise. I can just fly to the Bahamas, man, and just, you know, hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need the cruise to get to the Bahamas.
Yeah, although cruises are controversial right now.
Yeah?
Well... Yeah, I'm trying to, because I don't want to take any sides. All right. So what's happening is they can't require vaccination. So what's happening is, so far, all the cruises that have restarted have had high rates of infection of the virus, because they're not allowed to exclude people who may not have it. They're not allowed to segregate. And so a lot of the cruises are having trouble. There have been a lot of starts and stops.
Uh-huh.
And what I don't want to do is be like going out and now we have to go back to port because there's people with COVID who now have to get off and go quarantine somewhere. and then we go back out. Like, that doesn't sound fun to me.
No, personally. It's not. And plus, you know, cruises, when you're, like, you have to dine with people that you don't know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, their tables are, you have to, the table's a big round table, so you're at tables with other people.
What?
Yeah, what do you think, you got, like, tables for two? You know, they get to seat a lot of people.
I guess I'm never going to go on a cruise.
Now, Devin, you been on a cruise?
I have.
Yeah?
I have. But just like the kind you were describing, we got off. It was when I was younger. My parents brought us on one to see basically a lot of places in one trip.
Yeah.
And that's what they're good for.
Yeah. Well, you get off, you dock for a couple days, and then you get
back.
Well, how old were you, roughly?
Like 13.
Okay, so this is one of those where the kids and the adults were all together on the cruise.
Yes, but I don't remember a bunch of little, because I'm with you on, I don't like kids, especially as I've gotten older. I don't like them around. When I'm on vacation, especially on a cruise, no. And I don't remember a lot of little kids being there. Right. I want to say it could have been like 12 and up. I don't know.
Okay. I don't think there were kids on my cruise.
But you haven't been on a cruise since you became an adult, assuming that you're over 18 now.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for the assumption. No, I haven't. And I don't really have a desire to.
See, Corcoran doesn't even know that I was at his homeland.
You were at his homeland.
It was his homeland. It was 120.
Then I played with the band.
Yeah, it was 123 degrees.
123?
Yeah, Ephagus, Turkey. 123. It was in the middle of a heat wave. 123 degrees.
123?
It was 123. I swear to God, you're walking on the stone, you know, walkway.
Shoes are melting.
You could feel the heat. The shoes didn't matter. Your feet were burning.
There's beach in Turkey, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if it's that hot, though, how hot must that sand be?
I didn't know. I didn't go to the beach.
I'm just trying to
like a historic area. Like, Ephagus is an archaeological area.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
So you've really traveled.
Well, that was a travel. You know, it was like a cruise with, you know, went from the Greek islands all the way down. You know, stayed in Athens, hung in Athens, hopped on a cruise, and then just went through the sea and around about to Greek islands, then down to Egypt, and then up to Israel and Turkey, and then back to Greece.
So India was a separate trip.
Yes, that was a separate trip.
So you've done some traveling.
Yeah.
Well, very nice.
Yeah, I like the travel part of it.
It's good.
Okay, get back on that road. 610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
A 4:30 Mike Missinelli Show at 97.5 The Fanatic's get a Twitter poll update and talk some Phillies with Matt Breen. Devin Caney is with us today with the Twitter poll. All right, Devin, what's the update at 4:30? And it's brought to us, of course, by Paul B. Moyer and Sons.
Update to who should the Sixers start in place of Danny Green tonight? Matisse Thybulle holds his lead with 46.9% of the votes. In second, we have Korkmaz, and then Shaken Maxey rounding out the bottom two.
All right, so I think it's a two-horse race tonight, depending on where Doc wants to go. I'm feeling Thybulle for some reason.
I'd be fine with that. I think it's going to be Korkmaz, but that's just gut. Because he has started him in the past. But Thybulle makes a lot of sense. Get up early, jump on him.
Yeah, break their spirit defensively.
Yeah.
All right, in any event, the Phils all of a sudden are hot, and they're going. It's a big test for them now as they go on the road to Western trip as they have to play the Dodgers and the hot San Francisco Giants with the best manager in baseball. So to speak about this resurgence, the man who covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer, his name is Matt Breen on the Comcast Business Hotline. Hello, Matt.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
Matt, are you traveling on this trip?
I am, yes. I'm in L.A. right now.
Oh, so is this the first time?
It is. First time since 2019 that we've been on the road.
Oh, my God. What's this feel like? I mean, it's got-
yeah, I forgot what a hotel was like. It was getting on an airplane. I haven't done that in a while. So it's nice to it's definitely nice to be back. And this is the way the job should be done. So it's nice to get back to a little bit of normalcy.
All right. So is this going to change now the coverage? You're going to be able to talk to people one-on-one and stuff?
Yeah, we've been able at home the last few weeks at home games. They've opened that up a little bit to give us one-on-one access, which has been great. And then now it's going to be the same type of home access. It's going to be on the road, like at Dodger Stadium this afternoon. We'll talk to Joe Girardi in person, and we'll have one-on-one access with, you know, players that you request and whatnot. So it's good. It's slowly, the post game is still going to be on Zoom, but we're slowly getting away from that. And It was great. Zoom was great for when we needed it, but it's great to also, you know, get back to the human element of, like, talking to people in person. Just, you kind of miss that, of how, you know, how great that is for the job.
Yeah. Now, are the broadcasters also traveling?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't believe the TV broadcasters are.
Okay.
And I don't believe radio is as well.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good that you're out there. So let's talk about this team. You know, we were talking about how poorly they were playing defensively, and they just weren't hitting. And then all of a sudden, boom, they went a couple walk-offs and then really beat up the Yankees a little bit. So what's going on here? Is this a resurgence, or is it just a temp?
It was a really good weekend. I thought this was a big stretch for them to play the Yankees, two games at home, where I know it's not – the Yankees are kind of falling apart right now for the last couple weeks, but it's still when the Yankees come to town, especially for a National League team, you know, it doesn't really get any bigger than that. So they rose to that moment this weekend and beat them twice. But now the real test is to go to Dodger Stadium, where they have not played good for the last almost 10 years. And you're playing a really good Dodger team. And like you mentioned, Gabe Kapler is having a pretty good year in San Fran, and they go there this weekend. So I think this weekend was great, but this week is going to tell us a lot about this baseball team. They're not facing Trevor Bauer. They're not facing Walker Buehler this week in L.A., but they're still facing a really good team, and the same for this weekend. So
they've been getting breaks like that, not facing guys, including Giancarlo Stanton and Judge with the Yankees. But they've been winning games, Matt, without the benefit of the long ball carrying them. And a lot of people are going, well, are they back to a different approach where they're putting the ball in play? I just think it's coincidental, but what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think the you're seeing a deeper lineup. Odubel Herrera is contributing. Gene Segura is contributing. You're able to get by if, you know, Bryce Harper is not carrying you. There's other guys that are hitting around him now, where in the beginning of the season, it didn't seem like that. It seemed like all of your offensive production was coming from maybe two or three bats, and everybody else almost was like an automatic out. And now I think this is what the lineup really, for the last 2 years, they said it was. It was a, you know, pick your poison. It's up and down the lineup. There's no easy outs. And for the last week, it's been that way. And I think that's the lineup they dreamed it could be. But is it, you know, long-term, can it go that way? I think, you know, that's going to be seen. And I think by the end of this month, you'll have a bit better idea of what that is.
Well, what's really interesting about this is they're doing this without really a lot of contributions from Harper. And now Hoskins is in a slump. And so the guys that have delivered, obviously, it's been Herrera, and the Segura is having a just, I mean, he's in a really hot hitting streak right now. And even McCutchen's slinging in a couple balls right now. Talk to me about Segura, because he's not a guy that I gravitate to for a lot of different reasons. I think he can be mopey, and he can be, you know, abrasive a little bit and want to do things his way. But what kind of a dude is this guy?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, he's quietly been the best hitter all season. Like, it hasn't been a good week or a good 2 weeks. He's led the team in average pretty much since opening day, but it's like nobody really pays attention, because the defining moment for him is that the dugout conversation with Joe Girardi. And, you know, that's what
and other things where he didn't run out of ball, or, you know, there's been so many things with this guy.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody for ignoring that. It's just like, it almost like you put your head down and you're like, well, wait, you know, Team Segura is having a great year. We forget about that. And one thing he does really good is he makes contact. And that's what this team struggled to do. They're still struggling. They strike out a ton. But before they got Team Segura, that's what they were attracted to him, was for his contact rate and his high average. And you're seeing that this year. And you're also seeing a guy that showed last year that he knows how to also trade that contact to work a walk when he needs to. And that developed last season, and that's carrying into this year. And it's a guy that can hit at the top of your lineup, gets on base, and he showed against the Yankees that he can also hit in the clutch as well. And that's important. And like you said, Hoskins is struggling, Harper's struggling, but when your big bats are struggling, it's also important to have these guys around them that are hitting.
All right, the rotation. Nola comes through after really, you know, kind of hitting a wall there. Wheeler's been tremendous. Talk to me about Nola and what he did differently yesterday.
Yeah, he had fastball command, and it was weird to see him not really have that fastball command for pretty much the entire season until yesterday, because of just of how that like that's his bread and butter is his command of his fastball, and it's like almost like video game like where it goes where he wants it. But besides that complete game shutout he threw this year, really it was kind of absent. So it was important to see that return yesterday. That was, to me, the most thing that stuck out about his start. And as long as he has the command of his fastball, everything else plays off of that. And you know, that's the difference. And then Wheeler, like you said, he's probably an all-star. But the thing I'm most interested about this trip really is tonight to see how they handle Spencer Howard and how long he goes. Bailey Falter is here. He's supposed to be activated before the game. Left-handed prospect from AAA. Been excellent down there as a starting pitcher, and they're going to use him as a piggyback tonight is what the plan is with Spencer Howard. So I'm just curious to see how that plays out.
Well, I mean, this is the most peculiar situation that I've seen, and like it speak. I don't know, does it speak to physical conditioning? Like, what exactly entails this kid to lose miles an hour in his fastball and be gassed after 45 pitches?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a mixture of almost all, like, physical conditioning, arm strength build up, and then he had hinted that maybe there's like a mental component as well, that he's hitting a mental wall. So I think it's maybe threefold of you know, why his not only his velocity craters, but his command goes after, you know, two or three innings. And that's a problem. This is your number one pitching prospect. He needs to be able to go more than three innings. And the plan was really only to go four or five. It wasn't like they had aspirations that he was going to be a seven-inning pitcher this season. He just wasn't ready to do that. But he needs to be more than two or three. And for now, the patchwork to fix that is to have him pitch in tandem with somebody else. It was Ranger Suarez for a bit, but Suarez proved too valuable to be used in that role. They need him in the bullpen every night. So now they're going to try Bailey Falter, who also is left-handed like Suarez, and see if that works.
Well, I don't like him tonight, but we'll see. Strange things have happened here. So we'll just, glad you're back on the road, man. And, you know, we're looking forward to, actually, you know, talking to these guys, like they used
Me
to
too.
Be. Yeah. So thanks, man. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. That's Matt Breen from Los Angeles on the Comcast Business Hotline. How about that? They're back out there.
Yeah. That's good. You know, that's really good to see. And they mentioned, he mentioned the on-field access is back pregame as long as you have proof of vaccination. That's the MLB rule, by the way.
Yeah.
For everywhere, as long as you have proof of vaccination, you can go on the field before. And in the post games, like the last thing that has to get worked out, that's still Zoom.
Oh, damn, I forgot to ask him about Luke Williams. The bottom of that Luke Williams situation.
I'll text him.
Yeah, text him. What's the story of the Luke Williams situation?
Yeah, I'll text him. Yeah, that's pretty cool that he's out there. The travel part is important because you get better access.
Yeah, so why wouldn't the broadcasters then be out there? What's the plan for that?
I don't know. That's a network thing. And yeah. That's not made, but that decision's not made in Philadelphia.
Really?
Nah, yeah, that decision.
So that's like NBC decision?
Yeah. Because that's also... effectiveness, juice worth the squeeze, money because you can't get out there for free. That's.
You think that's like, I don't know who's going on the road now. I have no idea, but other teams. But is that, you think this is going to change the landscape of that whole, the television and radio broadcasters? Because they can just watch the game and do it from anywhere?
With some companies, it absolutely will. I would imagine it'll matter by market size sometimes too. Like, if you're in Oklahoma City, do you necessarily want to send, that's a smaller market, do you want to send them to L.A. and all those flights and stuff like that? I don't know. I do think that there's going to be a shift. Now, I don't think it's going to be one hard rule, though, where everybody's going to be there, everybody's not going to be there. I do think there's going to be specific changes. But those decisions are going to be made by suits, not by creative people.
Yeah. Devin, what's the plan for to cover lacrosse through this whole thing?
That's a great question. I think the NLL, so for the past, since March of 2020, we haven't played.
Yeah.
I think we, so our downfall is that most of our players, and this is like a surprising fact to people, most of our players, owners, execs are Canadian. So the Canadian border, their whole situation up there, like they're, I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. Somewhere along the way, they lost a big lead to us in terms of like vaccines and everything. Yeah. Like they're still locked down. So it all kind of depends on that.
Okay. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We have some open lines. Good time now to discuss the Sixers in tonight's game or whatever's on your mind right now. 610-632-0975 is how you climb into the Mike Mussinelli Show. Sixers tonight, 3-point favorite. I think they win the game. I think they'll win game 5. After that game 3, I saw an Atlanta team that I believe have talked themselves out of winning another game. So we'll see how much fight they have tonight. We're back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Fanatic.
4:45, Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Interesting scenario in the NBA playoffs with the Nets and the Bucks. You know, we have flowed different ways here. Because at first, it looked like, okay, well, Nets are going to make this a short series. And the Sixers are going to be extended by the Hawks. Right? But that changed in a blink. And all of a sudden, that's where your series is, I don't know. Can Milwaukee win 4 straight now?
They could.
Because of this situation with Kyrie?
Yeah, the Nets role players have stunk all year. And don't get me wrong, Joe Harris is what he is. He missed a lot of open looks yesterday. I don't know how many open looks, but they're not as open without all those guys. And they didn't get continuity because they had guys in and out of the lineup the whole year. And the thinking was we were going to get into the playoffs and it was just going to round off to being perfect, mm-hmm. and it hasn't worked out that way.
No, it certainly hasn't. And they let Milwaukee off the mat in game 3, mm-hmm. and now look what's happening. So let's. You always thought that they were going to play the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
So if they play the Bucks, you like the Sixers in that series.
Yeah, but I actually think it's a closer series than the Nets.
Really?
Yes, because the Bucks are a more cohesive unit. They've played together. They know where guys are going to be. They know what spots. Their role players know what to do because they've played together for more. So I think that I always thought the Bucks would be more of a challenge, and they throw a different kind of challenge to Embiid versus the Bucks just would have nothing for him. Even on 1.5 legs, Embiid can get 40 whenever he wants against the Nets team the same way he does against the Hawks. Tougher against the Bucks who have a defensive profile of some kind. I still think the Sixers will win the series, though, but I think it's tougher. I always thought they would be tailor-made to beat the Nets when the time came because I never expected all three of those guys to be healthy at the same time.
Yeah, well, they're certainly not, and who knows. But interestingly enough, Vegas, if Vegas has made the Nets the favorite to win the NBA title, thinking that those, well, assuming that those three guys will be healthy. So the Nets are not the favorite right now against the Bucks, but they will be the favorite in the next series and the favorite to win the NBA title based on the health of those three guys.
Yeah, now
Now, that's where you can get that right now. You bet that right now.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't do that. Now, I still think Harden, unless he rushes back, which I don't think would be wise with a hamstring, he's not supposed to play this week. And the series is over this week. I think they would play Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, something like that. I don't think they said he's not going to be healthy enough to play this week. And if Kyrie's in a walking boot, now they haven't said how long he's out yet, at least I haven't seen it. But if he's in a walking boot, that means it's Durant versus everybody.
Uh-huh.
That's how it looks to me. Now, Harden can rush back, but I don't think him rushing back from a hamstring, I mean, maybe he feels like he has to, but that hamstring's not going to be sound this week, and it may not be sound next week as the next series starts. So who's it going to be? Who's Durant playing with? They don't scare you. Joe Harris as your number two option doesn't scare you. He's really scary as your number four option.
Yeah.
As your number two option, yeah, piss posh.
All right, let's discuss the incident that happened in the Denver game with Phoenix.
Yeah.
I thought it was a flagrant two and he should have been thrown out. I was kind of going back and forth with Al Abdel Nabi, who did not think he should have been thrown out. And a lot of people go, well, you know, he's the MVP of the league. You shouldn't throw him out of a situation like that. A flagrant two is a flagrant two. They have to define these flagrant fouls with certain criteria, right, to keep it, you know, pretty much even.
Right. My other issue I have is we've seen Joel Embiid kind of be on the short end of a lot of calls when it comes to that, where he's not allowed to play physical. My issue with the play, why I thought it was a two, was he cocked back. Now, we've seen guys go for the swipe down on the ball,
yeah,
and they might catch the face accidentally on a swipe down. This was a windup.
Yeah,
he pulled the arm back.
It was a machete. Yeah, it was a machete thrash. And people, well, he shouldn't be throwing out for a frustration foul. What are you talking about? He should be, it's a frustration. Why? Should a frustration foul not be called a flagrant two?
And it's a slap. And we also,
who cares if it's frustration?
Right. And they also have been trying to take out shots above the neck. They've been trying to take, if you hit in the face, it's automatically a one. That, to me, rose to the level. Because you're talking about people who lost it on social media when Gallinari pushed Embiid and Embiid just pushed him back. Mm-hmm. A regular generic push below the shoulders. And he got, and there are people, oh my God, throw him out, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yet they see that. And they go, that you can't throw a guy out? So let me get this straight. Embiid's pushback on Gallinari was ejectable to these same people on social media, yet Jokic's full swing, like almost a full swing, is not?
Listen, in a perfect world, you don't want the star player who was named the MVP out of a game, but he has control over that. He's the one that caused it. Like, I didn't do it to him. He did it to himself.
Right, and it was such a dumb thing to go like that far from the basket. If we don't punish fouls like that, if they let that go, you know what ends up happening. The retaliation from the Suns then, and now what happens? Because that's almost a punch.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you cock back like that and come forward, that's not that different from hooking off on somebody. And then they say, oh, well, he missed his face. Was his goal to miss the face? If it was frustration, how do I know the goal was it to hit the face and he just a bad punch? Like Joker's never been in a fight before.
All right, let me ask you this one other thing. Because I was watching the game, and I watched the post game, and they did an interview, the TNT boys did an interview. Is it a violation that Devin Booker was the interview? Is it a violation for Ernie Johnson to call him Book out of the shoot?
No. That's that show. That's a casual show.
Listen, you know what? I wouldn't mind it if any of the players called him Book. I don't think Ernie Johnson should be booking him.
No, I think that's the show. I think that's just a casual.
But Ernie, yeah, he's got to be different than the show.
Nah.
He's got to be he's the staid guy who keeps everything in line. He can't be coming out of the shoot calling him Book.
He
doesn't know him like that.
Well, yes, they've done games. How well does he know him? Might be kind of cool.
Nah. Can't call him Book.
He's causing a problem in my house, Booker.
What's he causing a problem in your house?
I'm going to tell you why. So he's been doing different cars to every game, Booker. You brought it up. Booker.
He's been bringing different cars
each game. He brought a Buick Grand National Black for one of the games when they beat the Lakers. So every game coming forward, he has a different car going to the arena every single time.
Somebody give him a car? Or are these his cars?
I guess they're his. I don't know. Have you seen it on social media, Devin?
I have.
Yeah, every game he's got a different car, and they're showing the car. So rather than his outfits, his or his cars.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've never wanted a car for fun in my life. Never, because I never even thought about it with the money and still can't afford it. But I'm saying I never even thought of having an extra car. You know how you have your extra fun car, your convertible that you like?
Yeah.
I thought for the first time in my life, you know what? That Buick Grand National might be all right to one day have as an extra car.
Yeah.
She laughed at me for about an hour.
Your wife?
Yeah.
What?
What is all of this? What is this all of a sudden?
She's trying to keep you humble?
It was preposterous for me to even suggest.
Well, she's trying to keep you humble,
I guess.
She doesn't want you to be like, you know,
well, I'm not
to swing the NBA way.
I can't afford it. Now is my main car. I'm saying you got to have dreams and goals. I would like to one day have enough money to have a car that I drive every day.
Well,
but
see,
once in a while, be able to jump in that Grand National and get
but
after
see,
it.
This is more of a dude thing. Devin, you can weigh in on this. This is more of a dude thing. Like the car, that the show car is more of a guy thing that I don't think women would understand the practicality of that.
I mean, I was going to say even just the way, because I saw a video of Devin Booker pulling up in that car and he was driving it like a maniac. Like he... Uh-huh. If you haven't seen it, it's all over social media. So it was definitely kind of just like an image thing.
Yeah.
That I you're
yeah,
right.
Well,
I don't,
it's all
I don't
bad.
Like,
those guys can do it for image. You
yeah.
know? Like, but I don't know that like in a regular situation that like Tyrone's wife would say, what's necessary about that?
I'm yeah. fine with
the, now. If you were, if you were a zillionaire, she says, then she would be all right with it. But she's looking at the practicality of it. Right?
No, she's not. No, it wasn't that. I think she felt like I didn't have the swag to drive the Grand National.
Well,
I don't think she thought
saying.
Money at all.
But
no, that's not money. I could be rich. I think she would say you don't belong in that car.
Well, suppose you have the money and the swag in your future.
Swag is sort of in your DNA. If I don't have enough swag now,
not.
I'll never have it.
No,
if I don't have enough of the swag now, I'm never going to have
that's
it.
That's not true at all.
It's over.
You can always
believe in yourself,
acquire
Tyrone.
Swag.
I don't know.
There's time.
And maybe, you know, her position would be different. Right now, it's like practicality. Why were you even thinking that, fool?
It's just a dream. I have a whole bunch of dreams. A second home is a dream. I have a ton of dreams. It's not top list, but of a second car, I thought, man,
I get
that black
Buick
Grand National is a good-looking car. I would like to have one of those. See,
I don't have any problem with that at all.
It's just I can't. I know I can't do it now.
I don't have
I'm
a
saying
problem with it.
One day it'd be nice to have an extra car, and have you know what? On the weekends I can go
so
outside.
So you're thinking
a little bit.
That her response should have been, yeah, well, one day, yeah.
That's all. Obviously not
she
now.
She bucked against it.
She was like, "Who are you? A Grand National? When did you do? When?" Like it was like it was as if I said the sky was red.
5 o'clock hour is straight ahead as we get ready for Sixer Ball tonight. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's a 5 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show. The 5 o'clock hour brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Buy any window door, get the second at 50% off, plus interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit goguida.com. Sixers and Hawks, 7:30 start. Sixers a 3-point favorite tonight, and I believe they will win the game. So I don't know if is there a prop bet that I might be interested in tonight? Did you look at these bets?
I didn't check them out just yet. I was going to wait till closer.
Yeah, I have to maybe grab a prop bet on this.
They're fun.
See what's up.
Yeah, they're fun.
Well, they're not fun.
They are fun.
No, they're not fun because I was sweating out. I said I don't like to sweat out bets, and I was sweating out that Ben bet.
It was fun.
It just so happened it hit by the skin of my nose, and I think God was involved somehow.
Well.
To give me the 29.
I hear you, but
all right.
I'm just saying
look at a few of these. By the way, you know that trip I was referring to, that cruise? I forgot to tell you the best part of that. The best part of that was it was a nightmare to get to Athens, Greece, because here was the scenario. I was with a girlfriend, and my buddy, we were going together, and he was with his wife. He doesn't live near me, so he decided that it was a good idea to take a limo or car to JFK Airport.
Okay.
I got the ticket that connected to the same flight from Philly.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that's the better way to go. I would drive 2 hours over to JFK.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Fight that traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So it just so happens that a monster thunderstorm hits.
Ooh.
They postpone the flight to JFK, which means I'm going to miss the connection to Athens, Greece.
Oh.
So another couple was there, and they said, well, we can't miss this flight. We're going to rent a car. You're going to share the cost of a rental car. We'll try to drive up to JFK. I got nothing to lose. I don't know these people.
Right.
I have nothing to lose. So I go, yeah, okay, sure. So they run to a rental car place. They get a rental car. We schlep in the rental car with our stuff. And it's still blinding rain.
Yeah, so slow driving.
In the middle of the trip there, the couple gets into a fight.
Oh.
For his reckless driving. The woman is screaming at him. We don't know these people now. So I have no idea what to do. And it's the craziest trip ever because these two people are fighting. We get to JFK. We miss the flight.
Oh, all that for nothing.
The next flight isn't for another day. Yes. Good. There wasn't a flight to Athens going the next day. It was 2 days. So they put us up in some seedy hotel where we had to spend a day just waiting to get to the next day when another flight was scheduled.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to handle that.
Yeah, that was a nightmare.
See, you have a lot more composure than me.
No,
that's my personal nightmare.
Back then I didn't. I wasn't happy about the situation.
Like, I know
what are you going to do?
Right, but see, somehow I would want to be fighting against it, even though there's nothing, that's where I'm flawed.
So my buddy and his wife are lounging in Athens for a couple days before we even arrive.
Man, guess you should have hopped in that limo in hindsight.
I guess that was the better move. Let's go to Zig in Frankfurt. Zig, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Zig.
Zig. Mike, how you feel? Todd, Dev, real quick, Mike, long-time listener. A call once in a while. Got a couple topics. Always take notes. Let me get the laughter out the way. I think last week y'all was talking about letting a date spend a night. Real quick story. Somebody chasing for a while. Let her spend a night. Let herself out, you know, because it was too late. I come home the next day. Something said just walk in. Here it is. She had such a good time. That's, not only did she want to spend the weekend, but she left her clothes, like,
whoa.
Yeah, like, out.
Whoa.
Gone. Yeah, that was weird. Second thing, the jersey thing.
Mm-hmm.
Dated the 3-for-4 Redskin Eagles. I was, you know, that's one of the date her. I know, right? I know. Wanted to date her for a while, but I was willing to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not only did I go to the Eagles game, it was cold. I think this was RG3, like first or second year when he was, you know, tearing up the game.
Right.
I was talking smack. I think we was up. It came back. Mike, she pulled out a cowbell. Like, well, I think, I don't know who was the one when they started. I don't know if they won or something. She pulled out a cowbell and started ringing it. Like the most obnoxious Eagles fan ever. Out. Pittsburgh. I dated a Pittsburgh, same thing. Here's the thing. It wasn't the conversation you keep having saying, like, huh? Who? What? Like, you understand what they were saying, that accent. And not only that, but their food is crazy. She bought me a hot dog with the works.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? A hot dog with the works. Wait, what's the works? What's the works mean?
Lettuce, tomato, onion, like hot pepper. That's a hoagie. I mean,
it's like a Chicago dog. The Chicago dog is kind of like the worst.
Come on, Mike. Like, honestly, Mike. Like, you know, both for the challenge is a good night, but, you know, never again, man. Like, you know, if you ain't a fan of mine, you going. Serious note, on the Sixers.
Yeah.
My question to you is Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
Win or lose, I like him. But here's the thing. Here's where I'm nervous about. Because at the end of the day, I would like him to at least put us up so we can rest and be. Some of y'all talked about that smack with the Denver Nuggets because I can see us beating Brooklyn. It's even game now. It hurt. It took three guys to Joel thing. But now I can see if we, you know, digging in them good,
Right? They take that smack. Like, they take that hard foul. Frustrating. You see how Durant is. He can't do it by himself.
Yeah.
So
Durant's going to get frustrated, too. He's an angry. Right. He's an angry man.
Right. So here's my thing, Ben. If you could be more, I mean, if you can't take three shots on an even ball game, but.
Well, the three shot thing was over after that. He came back with a strong game three. He wasn't ultra aggressive, but you know, he got, what did he score, 18?
Yeah.
That's what I said. He got in that area.
Mm-hmm. 11 in the third quarter. He came out of the half a lot more aggressive.
Third quarter, yeah. Third quarter was something. You know, people say, I wonder if Doc, like, you know, dug into him at halftime, because something changed. He came out ultra aggressive.
I did, and they said that they're going to feature him, so they pulled Embiid and Tobias away since they were doubling Embiid all the time, and then you had him and Gallinari matched up in his curtains.
Yeah.
They don't have a guy that can guard him.
No.
They don't really have a guy that can stop Tobias from getting downhill either.
They can't deal with it. The Sixers' length is killing them right now. They, like, as long as they're scrambling and making it and contesting, you know, the Atlanta has nothing else.
Yeah, I do think they're going to come out and play hard, but I just don't think they'll have enough to. Like, I don't think they're going to quit, because I think Trey's a guy who plays hard. I give him credit for that, and I think the coach won't let them. But some of those Euros, a couple of them guys, Gallinari looking to pack it in.
Yeah,
Gallinari looking to pack it in. You know what? I'm getting a little too physical for me.
Yeah,
he's missed a couple jumpers. He's ready to shut it down.
He's thinking about getting back to the old country.
Mm-hmm, like, you know, it's nice this time of year.
It is. Curtis in Stevens, PA. Where's Stevens, Curtis?
How you doing, Mike?
Good. Where's Stevens?
That's in between Reading and Lancaster.
Okay.
Right off the turnpike.
All right.
The reason I'm calling is, when's the Phillies organization going to realize Hector Neris? Man, he got me on pins and needles every time he gets a ball.
Well, listen, he's not a lights out closer, but he's the best they have right now. I mean, they really don't have an alternative, do they?
Well, don't you think Ranger Suarez could do a little better than what he's been doing?
As a closer? No, he's not a closer.
I know he's not a closer, but neither is Hector.
Well, Hector's got better closer stuff than Ranger Suarez would. Ranger Suarez doesn't have closer stuff.
Well, I like the amount of innings he pitched without a run scored compared to Hector.
Well, yeah, but he's in the middle of a game. It's like you put a guy in a closer position, you got to have a hammer. You got to have a pitch and out pitch.
I understand it. And what my question is, when are the Phillies going to get one?
Well, you know, I think they're going to have to live with this all year. So it remains to be seen whether they can win enough games to get in the playoffs. I personally don't think they can. I think this is an aberration that they played good ball the last few games.
With him as a closer,
it's not like he doesn't succeed ever.
Well,
you know, you remember blown saves, obviously, right? But he's converted. How many saves does he have? It's not like he hasn't succeeded at all.
I just don't like all the walks the guy gives up. I mean, when you're down by a run or two, you can't be putting the guy on first base, and he does it way too often.
I hear you. I get it. But that's all you got.
Yeah, I know. I'm wondering if I'm the only one that feels the same.
No, everybody feels that way about Neris. But, like, you know, it's one thing to feel that way. It's another thing about what they're going to do about it. They don't have any alternative.
Well, I think before this season, when they can possibly get, I think they ought to try anyway.
Yeah, when they get to be a real contender, bona fide contender. He'll probably have to address that situation. Let's see what he's done. His ERA is 3.16. He's got 9 saves, 25 2/3 innings given up, 18 hits. That's not that bad. 11 walks and 33 strikeouts. That's not that bad, actually.
No, he hasn't
He's just been unsuccessful in, you know, high leverage spots sometimes.
Yeah, up 3 runs, that can't happen. But
so the Phillies tonight are going to go with Spencer Howard and Bailey Falter.
That's what they're going with?
Yeah, that's what Breen said. Bailey Falter said left-hander. We saw him earlier this year. He's a nibbler.
Well, I know you don't like that.
I'm not a fan of the nibbler.
What are you going to do, though?
What are you gonna do? Produce somebody better than Bailey Falter?
Well, they don't. They don't have
How about
it?
That.
They don't have it.
Ryan and Ambler, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ryan.
Yo, Mike, what's going on?
What's going on, Ryan?
First time, long time. I've been listening to you since I was 10 years old and 22 years old today. So it's
God bless you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Good to be talking with you. Hey, couple questions. So the Sixers, I'm just wondering here, like, I'm watching basketball. I've been watching basketball for a long time and everything. And I'm wondering, is the game getting, like, more and more soft? Are the refs calling more and more, you know, fouls?
What?
Because I feel like every time I'm watching this game, I see, you know, like, soft fouls being called. Like, Kevin Pillar the other day, he gets hit in the face with a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. He's back in the lineup the next 2 weeks. LeBron James, he's a... You know, he gets hit in the eye and he's down on the floor for 80 seconds. So I just want to ask what you think about that, if you think the game's getting softer. And then second, free throws. Do you think the Sixers are going to be able to keep, you know, their ride going and win the finals with the kind of their, you know.
I have no idea whether they can win the NBA title. I'll be honest with you. I look at it, I go, they're going to beat Atlanta. That's what I go. Yeah. Now, if it comes, like, if the Nets are in this state and the Nets somehow win that series, well, then I kind of like the Sixers and I kind of like them over the Bucks. In the finals, I got to think they would have the edge, but I can't, like, say definitely just yet that they're going to win the NBA championship. Now, as far as the NBA getting soft, no, I don't think it's gotten softer. Okay. You got to understand, these guys are, like, faster and bigger and quicker, and there's collisions on every, you know, if you look at every possession, you could call a foul on every possession. These guys bang each other.
That's true. I'm used to playing street ball where there's no fouls ever. So that's, you know. Hey, by the way, I'm going up to Mercedes-Benz, Fort Washington this weekend, buying first car. What do you recommend?
This is your first car you're buying a Benz?
Yeah, my first car.
Dude,
yeah.
You're rolling high here. Your first car, age 22, you're buying a Benz.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the cars, so I was like, I might as well figure out ask.
You got a nice job here or what?
Real estate.
Good for you, man. I would go with a C-Class sedan if I were you.
Gotcha.
All right,
all-wheel drive. All right, then.
They have all-wheel drive. You know, get something in a nice color C-Class sedan.
Gotcha.
All right, man.
Good talking.
My man, the 22 styling. I'm telling you, you got to get over there, Tyrone. My man's going over to get his first car at Mercedes-Benz in Fort Washington.
Listen, good for him. He should do that. I'm more concerned about him talking about I'm used to street ball.
Well, yeah, he's a 22-year-old kid.
No, that's not an excuse for that.
He's playing roughhouse.
Come on.
You know, that's what he's doing.
He's still a grown man. If you're mature enough for Mercedes-Benz, you should be mature enough to know the difference between street ball.
I get more into this story. This dude's going to 22, get his first car, and he decides he's going to walk into a Benz deal.
He's got the money.
He can't possibly. Wait, he's just started in real estate.
Does he become a multi-tycoon
at 22?
That's family money.
Okay, so the fam's helping him out.
Yeah, I mean, but they might have helped him also get set up in the real estate.
Maybe it's a family real estate business.
Maybe. I mean, they might be doing commercial properties as well. He didn't say, like, he's selling, you know.
That's a pretty good weapon for a 22-year-old kid. You know, he's on a dating scene.
A weapon? It does the work for you.
I know.
It's over. In fact, it's kind of like, it's probably, that's the only place where it may hurt him long term. Because he doesn't have to develop the gift of gab the way other young people have to.
You just roll.
Just roll in the car. And that speaks a lot.
It does.
Oh, what do you do? I'm heavy into real estate. What do you do? Oh, I just graduated college. Well, let me take you out for a nice day. It's already over. It's over. It's over at that age.
Now, you're putting way too much stock in that. Wait.
Let's get a discussion here. Hold on a second. First of all, was your first car Benz?
No, absolutely not.
All right, so 22-year-old Devin.
Yeah.
This guy is interested in you, and he rolls up in a Benz. That would mean nothing to you.
No, not really? It wouldn't mean everything, which is what Tyrone, at least that's what I was taking from what you were saying. Well, that if someone just rolls up in a Benz, girls are automatically like, yes.
At 22?
Devin, I wasn't speaking for you specifically, but I remember being 22. And I know that if you're a guy and you roll up in a Benz at 22 years old, The odds of having a successful night are higher than if you roll up in a regular used vehicle.
I agree with you. It always seemed to matter what kind of car I was driving as far as, you know,
success rate.
Now, Devin, you're probably a very selfless, mature, a humble girl who is not impressed by the material things, right?
For sure.
All right.
Well, no, I'm just saying
that's a great quality. First of all, it's a great quality.
It is. Now, I don't want you to say anything about any of your friends. So take your friends out of the group there, Devin. But just how about just a girl you know? None of your friends. You don't know any girls who in their younger 20s would be impressed by a Mercedes-Benz. Like you don't even know any, Devin, you're suggesting? Because if you're suggesting that, I think you're lying.
I wouldn't use the word impressed. It would be a pro. It would definitely be a pro. It wouldn't hurt. It would be like, oh, I met this guy. He's really nice and has a good job. He also drives a Mercedes. But also a 22, that's kind of suspicious. My first question would be, how do you drive a Benz?
I don't sell drugs. And then that's probably enough. Because that's what you're assuming.
Well, hey, she raises a good point here, because now it's worse if the girl is thinking it's family money. Daddy bought him a Benz.
Right.
That's not attractive.
Exactly.
What?
It's not. I could tell, like, a girl wouldn't be impressed by it. It's his daddy's money.
What?
It's not him. So chances are he's a spoiled kid.
Have you ever met a man with family money who didn't have multiple women? Because I never have. In my life experience, women enjoy guys with family money. No, I don't know where that's a turnoff. In what world? I've never come across a guy with family. I've met some people with some family money. They're never single. They have family money. So then she's good. Not even if he's not good with the family money.
I'm just taking the other side of it. Somebody is level-headed would look at it and go, this kid's that. Mommy and daddy spoiled him his whole life.
So
what kind of character does the man have?
We have different people around. Devin's a different breed. But I'm telling you that a guy with family money and the whole Argyle sweater, they're annoying to guys to talk to. They always have girls.
The Argyle sweater?
You know what I'm talking about. Those guys do just fine with the family money.
The Argyle sweater vest? How about that?
Argyle
sweater vest?
That guy.
That guy?
He's no one likes him, except he always has a girlfriend.
How about the cardigan? Is that the same thing?
Jimmy Cardigan,
because
from the Cardigan estate, always has. Well, he does. Like, I understand individuals don't like him.
Yeah,
he's never alone. Life is easier for those guys. Family money doesn't work.
Believe me. Would I trade places with one of those guys? Yes, I would. Believe me. I hear what you're saying. I would have no problem taking family money. I'm just saying how it would come off to somebody who maybe would want to spoil brat.
Right.
And Devin apparently is that type.
We were learning. We learned. It's our first day. We're learning.
Masher in Shenandoah. We got to take a break. Hey, Masher, hold on a second.
All right, Mike.
All right, we're up against the break. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
The Sean Kincaid Show.
I think this thing is over. I think the Sixers are just that much better than Atlanta. I don't think Atlanta has an answer. And if you watch Trae Young sitting on the bench on Friday night, as the Sixers were doing what they do, you can tell there's no answer.
Anthony Gargano.
Game 4 tonight. Game 3, they took their heart. Game 4, they take their soul. This is shaping up to be something special.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Either way, the Sixers win this game, then they come home and win game five. I just can't see Atlanta, after what I saw, two games they couldn't finish out, and then they just got their pants taken off of them. You could see the look on their face. They go, we're not ready for this challenge.
Listen all day, every day, to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
All right, it's 5:30. It's time to get the final Twitter poll numbers. It's brought to us, the Twitter poll, by Paulby Moyer and Sons. If you're looking for a new mower, maybe a zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paulby Moyer and Sons of Doylestown has it all. So just order online at paulbymoyer.com, or just shoot over there and grab your stuff. They'll tell you exactly what it is, how to use it. It won't come out of a box, all that good stuff. Devin Caney is with us today with the Twitter poll. The final numbers, Devin.
Thanks, Mike. The final numbers for who should the Sixers start in place of Danny Green tonight. Matisse Thybulle's lead has shrunk a little bit. He's still winning 46.8%. We've also gotten a ton of votes. Korkmaz is in second, and then Shake Milton and Tyrese Maxey are in the bottom two by a lot.
Oh, what's Korkmaz's number? How close is he?
37.3. Yeah.
I think he's going to start Korkmaz.
That's right.
I agree with you, Tyrone. I think he's going to start Korkmaz. I think he should start Thybulle.
Yes, the tough part's going to be early, they double and beat like they've been doing. He kicks out to a wide open Korkmaz in the corner. He misses, leads to a long rebound and a run out and a fast break point on the other end for the Hawks. And now it's timeout. Here's Thybulle. You end up doing what maybe you should have done from the beginning anyway.
Yeah.
I can see that scenario. But if he makes those shots, then they're, for one game, a more dangerous team. For a game.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, we got to. Trae Young is, I think, going to try to lead tonight by being everything and everybody. And I think that's why I think Thybulle should start. Chill him early. Get, just scramble him around. Make them take rushed open shots, three-point shots, and just, here it is, 33-19 first quarter, see you later.
Ooh, so that means good defense.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. 33-19, let's go.
Yeah,
let's break their will.
I can see that.
Oh, and so some high school news we have here today.
That's right.
The high school that produced one Tyrone Johnson has won the Group 3 State Track Championship.
Yes.
Wow.
Dominant performance. I got a shout out to my guy, Ty Tucker, who I went to high school with. His son, Bryce Tucker, is only a sophomore.
Uh-huh.
In the 400 hurdles, he ran a 52.68. It's the fifth fastest time this year in the country.
That's that with Moses.
He ran it over the weekend. Way faster than I ever was, because I ran that event. So shout out to Ty, shout out to Bryce. Goes crazy. Then he runs a split in the 40s in the 4x4 as well to help take the championship. This school is producing speed like I've never heard of before. But no, big props to Bryce, though, for coming back after that 400-meter. So he's only a sophomore. It's the fifth fastest time, not for sophomores. Anybody's running that event in the country this year, and he's a sophomore. And he ran it over the weekend.
Well, there you go. Now, has Pensacola always been good at track?
Pensacola generally is pretty good at track.
Not as good as Willingboro, though, right?
Back in the day, Willingboro had the big advantage.
Yeah.
Now, Pensacola has been better in recent times. There was a time where Willingboro had the best, they didn't lose a dual meet for a decade. They didn't lose. But right now, Pensacola's got it. That Pensacola, if any fast kids out there, you probably won't move to Pensacola. Because that's where
how was the track team at Radnor, Devin?
I was on the indoor track team,
What event did you run?
The 400.
Really?
The worst event in track, just because it's so painful.
It's painful.
It's a hard event.
It's a hard event on the indoor with the extra turns on the indoor.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure we were decent. Not
because indoor track over there at Radnor?
No, we trained outside.
Okay. All right. Because Radnor's got some facilities. I've been over there. I play baseball leagues over there. They put the turf fields down everywhere, right?
Yeah, got a turf field.
Got that, turf field.
No, Pennsylt can do that.
Oh, Pennsylt can do that too.
Excuse me,
I didn't go to a high school had turf.
No, we did. I didn't have one either. They have it now.
Oh, they have it now.
They didn't have it when I was there. I was all grass. Yeah. We had to redo the track. We didn't have lights, so we couldn't play night games.
You know, it's years now away from my Bristol high school days. You know, they have their seed. They plant seed.
Well, come on.
Yeah, they sprinkle seed. That's how they grow.
The maintenance ends up being less if you do the turf field.
Yeah,
and then
I know.
You can have more events with the weather.
You can have $1 zillion to put it down. And if I know it's cost effective, where you can get have a fundraiser.
Man, you make it a ballot initiative. But I got to give credit. It does make me feel a certain way, though, that I got from high school whose son is like fifth fastest kid in the country.
That's cool, man.
No, I'm impressed. It's just like.
That's cool.
Yeah, Ty was also faster than me in high school.
He ran the 400 hurdles, huh?
I ran 800, ran the mile. Yeah, I couldn't sprint.
Huh.
Yeah. I did okay. It wasn't great, wasn't terrible.
Yeah?
Yeah, I did all right.
Stevie J out there watching you run the 400?
Yeah. Generally not pleased. Generally not overly happy.
Stevie J's his pop, Devin. It's his father. Stevie J. We tell Stevie J stories. We've been trying to get him on as a guest, and he's been ducking us.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. All right, let's go, Masher. Shannon Dove's been hanging. Thanks for hanging, Mash. What's up?
Hey, Mike. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
Hey, I ran a 10-4-40 once in high school at Shenandoah Valley.
A 10-4-40?
Yeah, and you know what screwed me up? It was that fishing string that Brian Westbrook was complaining about that threw me off the end.
Yeah, I got it. I hear you.
But I was still a little distraught until I turned the program on today, and now I see another beauty that you have with you, so that's a plus.
Yeah, she's a lovely lady and smart.
And beautiful.
And knows her stuff.
Yes, that's a good thing.
Yep.
And I wanted to thank Tyrone also for, I think I was Natalie's last thing on Sound Off when she left, when she sang On the Way to Cape May to me.
Oh, that's right. She did sing On the Way to Cape May to you. Yeah.
So that was a thing. But anyway, I bailed it on the Sixers to Mike -3. Think that's a good bet?
I like the Sixers -3 tonight.
To me,
it's almost too easy. -3 is a little too easy.
Yeah, that's why I was scared. But the reason being, when your MVP gets swept in four games, I think JoJo's going to come out and show everybody who the real MVP is.
Oh, yeah, you think so? You got that edge. Yeah, well, you've been watching this series. You see how Atlanta doesn't have anything for them.
No. And this kid with a 22-year-old buying a Mercedes. When I was 22, I had a 68 Plymouth tolling around in Shenandoah.
Well, I bet you that 68 Plymouth in Shenandoah was hot.
Yeah, I don't know about that. And one more thing, Mike.
Yes, sir.
I started getting some chest pains here and there, and now I got to go for open heart surgery. So a couple prayers from you and
Mike. Oh, man. What, you got to get a bypass?
Well, I got a couple blockages, and they can't put stents in, so I go for a consult tomorrow at Lehigh Valley, and then the doctor surgeon's going to go from there and let me know what's going to happen.
All right, well, listen, best of luck. We're behind you 100%.
I appreciate it, and you guys keep me going, so I just wanted to tell you that.
All right, buddy. Yeah, best of luck there. Ooh. Masher.
That's tough.
Yeah, that's a tough surgery, but hopefully everything will be work out for him. Phil, want to sell? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil,
hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Phil?
I just don't understand. I feel like you're hating on the Phillies a ton this year. You're saying that they're going to maybe make a move if they become bona fide contenders. I don't know what they need to do to become bona fide contenders. They're a game over 500. They are three games out of first place. They just won four in a row. They swept the Yankees, and they took care of business with the Braves. So I don't understand.
it's like a kind of a mini little spur here. You know, like, I don't know how you make that big leap because they won a couple games against the Braves and the Yankees. I mean, they're not a great team.
They are clicking right now. They got a guy in Herrera that can hit at the top of the order now, which moves a couple guys down to the bottom of the order. Uh-huh. So we have more bats at the bottom. The only problem, the only issue we have right now is we can't win on the road, which we might be able to do here in the West Coast run here, and we can't seem to get it together against left-handed pitchers. So it's not about Hector Neris. It's not about bats. It's not about RBIs. It's about a couple little things that can be adjusted. And they are bona fide contenders. They're 3 games out of .500. So for you to say that, or 3 games out of first place, for you to say
what does it mean that they're 3 games out of first place? That makes them a contender. I'm talking about their overall worth as a team. They're just an okay team. You know, they're not a team you look at and go, oh my God, you're a contender.
I think
what are you seeing?
If you look at the order right now, number one, I think LA is worried about them. They're not going to get their best guys out there besides Kershaw on Wednesday. So I think LA's nervous, and that's the World Series champ. I think that is a team right now that a lot of teams in the league know that they start clicking the way they have been, they are a bona fide contender, and they are probably one solid pitcher away from being the best team in the National League.
Yeah, I think that you're going. I can understand you're a Phillies fan. I think you're being a little swayed by a brief run here. I don't think they're a great team. I think they're an okay team. Can they win a division? Maybe. I don't know. Who knows? They could win their division. I don't see them winning the division actually, but we'll find out. We'll see what's happening. Yeah.
You get Didi back. Archie's healthy now, and he's
I don't know about Didi getting back. He's had a setback. They may have to go the rest of the year with Torres, and that's not good. He's not starting shortstop in this league. That's a big position.
Yeah.
They may have to acquire somebody.
Yeah, and maybe McCutchen hits enough to where you don't feel like you have to go get an outfielder. Obviously, center field, for whatever reason, is stabilized. You know about right field. Maybe that's the position you have to look for.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to get overly crazy about this. They won a couple walk-off games. They blew a couple leads in those games, and they took care of the Yankees, and they missed Garrett Cole, and they didn't get Giancarlo Stanton and Judge in a couple of those games. So, I hope it works out for them. I'd love to see the Phillies win. They haven't impressed me yet, though. With 4 games isn't going to do it. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back. On the other side, we've got Sound Off.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off. Sound
off. You gotta be facing me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
You have a chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Keep going. Sound off.
All right, time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705. You got something to say? Hit us up, leave us a message. Now, a couple days have gone by here for the Sixers' reaction, but the Phillies fresh off the Yankees. So let's see what we have today on Sound Off.
Mike, I'm watching inside the NBA last night, and Shaq and Charles said something that was really, really stupid. They both said, well, why would a Hawks double-team an Embiid? If them two idiots don't remember how when they played, every time they caught the ball in the post, they got double-teamed, I don't understand what they're talking about. That's what most teams do. When your best player has the ball, you run a double-team at him. It's been happening in basketball for a decade.
I didn't hear him say that, but how would you not double Embiid? Like, what's the benefit of having, do you think Capella can play him?
Well, because Shaq believes that Embiid doesn't always catch it in the post, so why do they double him other places? They double him other places because he's dangerous on the other places, unlike Shaq, so he didn't understand it. And Barkley already took the tack before the series that Embiid doesn't matter. It's about the other players. He literally said that. He said, indeed, doesn't matter. It's about the other person. So don't double him.
Shaq and Barkley don't see that little medium range little wing jumper that he, when he gets it with his backside to the basket and it's and turns and makes that little. They haven't seen him make that shot a thousand times.
But they say every single time at every halftime of every game they do, that's settling.
Well, that's foolish.
That's what they say. He should never shoot that shot because that's settling.
These guys got to do a little more research on Embiid's game, man, and stop saying these old, tired, you know, cliches.
And you talk about Williams and you talk about Real Muto wearing a Celtics jersey and Williams wearing a Brooklyn jersey. McCutchen wore New York hat after the game yesterday on a post-game interview. Now, I know he was out there exchanging jabs with Yankee fans out in the left field, but I mean, I'm not saying that McCutchen's a bad guy because of it.
I didn't see him wear a Yankee hat? On the podcast?
I didn't see that.
I didn't see it. I would have commented on it. That's a violation. Especially because he used to play for him. Can't wear any Yankee hat.
Sixers will lose their series because of one reason. Free throws. Nobody makes a free throw anymore.
The Sixers are going to lose this series? You haven't been watching Embiid at the foul line? Like the guy that scores 30-plus a game goes to the line?
Yeah, he shot 75%. Last game from the line, which is a bad game for him.
Yeah, that was a bad game
for him. But think about how 75% is bad. They missed 14 free throws and won by 16. So let's say he missed 10 this game. Now they win by 22.
Yeah.
For all the Philadelphians that thought that the Sixers series was over at the game one, you need to watch hashtag Sixers Outsiders to get your basketball IQ up.
Look at that.
Been trying to tell people. Thank you, brother. I've been trying to tell people.
You know that one was going to be included.
I didn't know. I don't do the sound off.
No, I mean, you know, the guys have put it together.
Yeah.
They're going to put that on there.
Trying to help you learn the game. That's what we do. We try to help people learn the game of basketball.
There you go.
Hey, Mike, I just heard a soundbite where Doug Flutie's interviewing Tim Tebow, and they're talking about playing golf together at Sawgrass at Tim Tebow's golf tournament. And I'm thinking, what was that? The outing of failed Heisman Trophy quarterbacks? Who completed their foursome? Eric Couch and Troy Smith?
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, this Tebow thing, it can't get over with soon enough.
Yeah, I know. He just loathed it.
Ben Simmons sucks. That 24-second violation is totally on him. He's right under the basket. He passes. What a moron. Get rid of this guy. What's he doing in this game? Nothing. He looks like garbage. Bye, Ben.
I assume that you made this call before the third quarter. In which case, you should have called to erase it. That would have been good form.
He could have corrected it. You are correct, Mike.
Yeah.
I think he comes out more aggressive this game, though, I do.
Same over-under number, by the way, that I hit on last week. 28.5 for Ben. Points, assists, and rebounds tonight. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Got an beef?
I don't like them.
What are you?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Good riddance. See you later.
By the way, that's just straight in. McCutchen didn't wear a Yankee hat. It was a Negro League New York hat. He was rocking, which is perfectly fine.
Yes, very different.
All right. So, Devin, how'd you enjoy yourself today? Good job.
Thank you.
Nice job.
I had a lot of fun.
Awesome.
I'm excited to come back tomorrow.
That's right. You'll be back in tomorrow. And, of course, stay tuned because tonight, the Fanatic pregame show lead you right into the game with Devon Gibbons and Bob Cooney. And then Sixers and Hawks right here on 97.5, the Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly. Of course, Sportsnet Central, Allen Iverson special leads you in to the Sixers pregame show and the game and the postgame and Sixers Outsiders. Don't miss that. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Sixers win it. We'll be talking about it tomorrow. See you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.